about.
Anyway, I am so proud to welcome two new angels to our Cloud Nine family. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
VIG!
There are many ways to keep one's lips conditioned. I don't kiss, for example, 24 hours before a performance because kissing makes your lips mushy and we cannot have mushy lips and be a champion. And I drink ice water. But perhaps most importantly is my best friend, Chapstick.
What is happening?
I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
And now...
Look, I haven't had a drink since New Year's Eve.
You're talking Chinese New Year's.
Naturally. Still, that's 2 days. You know how long that is for me?
Our feature presentation.
That is funny. He says I have the best words.
Oh, yep. Unreal.
Your like next president, ladies and gentlemen.
To go back through all of his speeches and pick them out. Which ones, mm-hmm. like, do we not have access to?
Yeah.
He says them and we go, oh, that's a great word. I wish I had it.
The future president was on fire over the holidays, by the way. He did not take a break. Just because we weren't on and weren't able to comment on it, it's amazing how many things he did over the holidays. Like talking about how this, you know, over Christmas, he's like, this time next year you'll be calling me in the White House. Oh. Apparently unaware that the inauguration isn't until January. And then...
Well, he'll move in early.
Yeah, he was
probably
moving in.
Right after, you know, the vote.
He'll right after the election?
Right.
So he plans to be in by mid-November.
Yep.
He evicts
the Obamas.
Yep.
And then he had, I know we weren't going to talk about this, but then he did you see his chunk, if I can find it, I'd love to play it. Did you see his chunk on hairspray? Talking
no.
about how much he likes hairspray and
no.
how the president, oh, here it is, I got it. The president doesn't allow him to use the aerosol hairspray that he likes.
You can't use hairspray because hairspray is going to affect the ozone. I'm trying to figure out, let's see, I'm in my room in New York City and I want to put a little spray so that I can... But I hear where they don't want me to use hairspray. They want me to use the pump because the other one, which I really like better than going bing, 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 and then it comes out in big lobs, right? And you're stuck in your hair and you say, oh, my God, I got to take a shower again. My hair's all screwed up.
Right?
Right?
Wow.
I want to use hairspray. They say don't use hairspray. It's bad for the ozone. So I'm sitting in this concealed apartment, this concealed unit. You know, I really do live in a very nice apartment.
Oh, sure. Right? Yeah.
But it's sealed. It's beautiful. I don't think anything gets out, and I'm not supposed to be using hairspray.
Now, Ali, refresh my memory. Wasn't it like in the 80s when they stopped making the bad hairspray?
Exactly. When
it was aerosol
people were like,
cans,
no,
right?
Not my Aquanet. Yeah, they switched from aerosol to the pump, but wow. Wow.
This guy's running for president. He just did 2 minutes of talking about hairspray. And again, not a thing that has been an issue for like 30 years. We've been able to use those aerosol cans, and it doesn't scrub the environment.
Which is why I love him.
That's why you're all Trump 16. Okay.
And I don't think everybody else should be worried because of that.
At what point would you think we should start being worried? Because remember, we all thought this was
kind of
a joke, and then it would peter out.
We thought a couple of weeks,
right at the
beginning. I'd say probably you should panic right around Halloween. Yeah, that's about it.
1 week or less before the election.
I'm saying probably.
Okay. Well, we got primaries coming up soon, so I guess that's either going to add fuel to the fire or it'll finally start to die out. But we'll see. Hey, I had a thing I wanted to talk about, but instead, if we have time, and maybe we should save this for later. I will not have
thinking going on the air here.
He's working this all out.
Well, because I'm looking at the clock and we've got a lot of stuff to get to, but I also am very concerned that I don't really want to let Chip blasphemy Mr. Pickles the way she has here this morning.
Oh, this is so good.
I'm very concerned about what's going on in their house.
And I
don't like it, Chip. I don't like the relationship that's developed between you and Mr. Pickles.
Right?
Mm-hmm. F-cats.
Oh, no, no, that's right.
All right.
And why are you saying that?
Okay, so last night I was on my couch. Me and my sister live together in an apartment. She has a couple pets, a cat and a dog. So we're watching TV, and out of the blue, the cat launches itself at my face.
Ooh.
Okay, that's weird. Out of the blue.
He does this. He's a dick.
Okay. Is that, wait. What were you watching, first of all? Is it something that would have been offensive to him?
Stop victim blaming.
I'm just asking.
No, it was something the kids were chip, something on the kids were watching her kids were watching cartoon something on Cartoon Network. So okay. It was
yeah. All right.
Like maybe Teen Titans.
It wasn't so, like itchy and scratchy though, or something where bad things are happening to cats. That's my point.
No.
So okay. Launches at your face and scratches your eye.
Yeah. Over. Well, luckily I ducked and he got my eyebrow. My eyebrow is pretty scratched out.
Yeah, you're like, straight up vanilla ice right now with that scar.
I'm bugging now. But yeah, it was like, just like blood all over the place.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. F cats.
So the war is on.
War. It's race war.
All right.
Mr. Pickles drew first blood. Mr. Yep. Pickles attacked first. Got the drop on you.
Yep.
And it sounds like we got to give him that round.
And by the way, imagine Chip as small as she is. That must have been looking like a lion.
That's what I said. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. I don't want to say I slugged him, but I forcefully pushed him away from
well,
me.
Well, and in classic manipulator form, what did Mr. Pickles do later?
I woke up this morning and he was laid right down next to me.
Yep.
Huh? Watching, good, just looking at you.
He's like, yeah, I did it.
We're cool.
Could have done this at any point last night while you slept.
Watching you sleep.
Oh, that's great. Geez.
But to be fair, and again, we haven't heard Mr. Pickles' side of the story.
Wait a
minute.
I'd like to speak
with him later on today.
Hold on, though. At what point are we interested in being fair?
I'm interested in being fair when it comes to disparaging Mr. Pickles. So here's my question. Don't you think that to him, how long have you been living with your sister?
And a couple years.
Oh, a couple of years.
Yeah, just yeah, so years there, Bean.
Yeah, it's been totally fine up until now.
So he should be used to you by now, but I would just imagine at some point he just looks up in a hurry and you're like a chew toy to him. You know, he just sees like a little thing on the floor that he wants to play with.
Do you think he's a Patriots fan?
No, he sure sounds
like one.
He doesn't
sound like a winner. No.
Boom.
Well done.
Thank you. All right.
Well, we'll get to the bottom of that.
One last question. Do you get the feeling that he was attacking or playing attacking? I mean,
I think he was just being a dick. Like, oh, I can do this. I'm just gonna
really.
Yeah. So after that, he's
not really playful or
no, no.
Were you sitting in his spot?
Do your cats have a spot?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Pickles sounds...
It's wherever they want.
That's true.
Chip, that's what's wrong with cats.
I've got a problem with.
All
this
right,
cat.
It's on. It's on.
Yeah.
Officially. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I tell you, it's so hard to remember boring stuff like that.
We are going to give away another skiing trip to Crested Butte in Colorado. That's coming up today. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have schools giving tattoos.
Hmm.
That seems good, right?
No.
What could go wrong there? I'll tell you about that today. Mugs, how did this come up yesterday, B? What was it?
I think Ralph came in and said he wanted to pitch a guest, a UFO expert who believes that the president was killed for threatening to reveal secrets about alien visits. Mm-hmm. And apparently Muggs was aware of the theory, has subscribed to the theory, and is going to defend the theory.
Believes it wholeheartedly. The CIA was behind it.
Yep.
That's right.
And Muggs, we like when Muggs explains things.
Mm-hmm. I know that's always, I do very much.
That's always a lot of fun. So that's happening on today's Kevin and Bean Show as well. And in studio we have Zoe Bell, who plays Six Horse Judy on The Hateful Eight, which is very exciting. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock KROQ. 2016 is the anniversary year of the Monkees.
Oh.
And just heard the Monkees, Mickey Dolan singing lead on that one.
That wasn't the
Randy Scatzkid.
That wasn't what we played.
Speaking of the Monkees, they're back on television.
Oh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They're on every Sunday.
Yeah.
At 6 p.m. Okay. on MeTV.
All right.
And you get two episodes from 6. And then again at 6:30, you get another one. So you get an hour of Monkees every Sunday afternoon.
Oh, so sweet.
6 p.m.
It's
on
not afternoon, it's
the cable channel called MeTV.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the Monkees.
Yeah. We don't have time to play any more Monkees. I'm sorry, Ronnie.
Just a Pleasant Valley Sunday.
How excited can a 65-year-old man be about the Monkees?
What
being
else
on a
does he have?
Channel?
Give him that. Just let him have it.
Look, I hope he enjoys it. It's just
got the Monkees and Cantors. Let the man have it. Have his Monkees.
Just fascinating to me, his obsession with those 18-year-olds.
Yeah, that
on the
must
Monkees.
Be weird for you to understand other people who are fascinated with and have to go to the same places all the time.
Right.
Oh. got to drive you crazy.
He should be your best friend.
Right.
He's a weirdo.
He's passionate about things that nobody else cares about, and he insists on eating at the same restaurants on the same days during the week.
If you would have said that outside this context, I would go, oh, yeah, Bean. Of course that's who you're talking about.
If I described just that.
Right.
You fill in the blank.
Come on,
you would have written down Bean.
So I've been missing the boat all these years.
Yes.
My best friend, Rodney?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to stop and think about that. That's interesting. All right. It is Wednesday morning. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Well, everyone's freaking out. That's what's happening.
About
Justin Bieber's relationship with Hailey Baldwin.
Mm. She's attractive, by the way.
She is a model.
Thank you, Bean.
Daughter of, I want to say, Stephen Baldwin,
mm-hmm.
of the acting Baldwins.
Right.
He's the holy roller of the family. What a nutty bunch those Baldwins are.
There must be a lot of
fist fights at those family reunions. He's got Alec, who's just never happy about anything ever. He's the surly one. They're kind of like the monkeys. They all have their own personality and role in the show.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Yeah, so that's Alec. Then you got Billy. He's the dreamy one. He's the one all the girls kiss his picture before they go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's the one who was married to...
China Phillips.
Right.
Right. Then you've got Steven. He's the godly one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you have Fatty.
What's Daniel. His name?
Daniel. Daniel Baldwin. Yeah. He's the lovable drunk. Mm-hmm. Of the foursome, so they're like the monkeys. They all have their own individual personalities and fan bases. But as I mentioned, Steven is the holy roller, and apparently this was a relationship made in God's eyes. Two of them go to church together, and they baptize each other nightly. I don't know what that means, but anyway, Bieber, the Beliebers are not happy because he belongs to them. You know.
They don't want him to have a girlfriend at all?
Certainly not this one.
It's a weird thing. Every one of his fans
social
is
media.
Uprised. No way!
Social media's going nuts. Well, he posted pictures of himself making out with this chick, and which I think also, by the way, is kind
of
lame.
It is, of course.
It's like, look, let me kiss the pictures of me kissing this girl. It's like every paparazzo in the world would show those. You don't need to post those on Instagram.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Beliebers are going off. Calling her, wait for it. Here's one tweet. Hailey Baldwin is a piece of nothing.
Oh man.
Wow, that is
slow down.
Harsh. There are more colorful names being used for Hailey that I can't really use in this particular radio broadcast. But some followers think it's unforgivable that he's moved on from Selena Gomez, saying she's the only perfect girl for him.
That's odd.
He's Justin Bieber. He's the handsome devil that came down from heaven to make some great songs,
right.
and dance forever.
Right.
Thanks, Kevin.
It's a good point.
Thanks, Kevin. Speaking of Instagram, Lindsay Lohan.
That's a name I haven't heard in a
while. Yeah, welcome back to 2016, Lindsay.
What's she up to?
She's been stepping it up on Instagram for, I don't know, 3-4 months.
Yeah, well, her first 2016 Instagram photo showed her covered in volcanic mud in Costa Rica. Covered head to toe in mud.
That's not mud.
That's not mud! The mud, you see, Kevin.
Yes, Ralph.
Is supposed to ward off negativity for the new year. So all the negativity is bouncing off the mud. I can't get through to her because she's caked with volcanic mud.
Is there nothing she won't believe? I mean,
no, there isn't.
Every single thing. Wait a minute, this mud. So
hey,
that no, hold
Lindsay,
on,
Lindsay, come here. Roll around this mud. Why? Because it'll keep negativity off you. Go,
I'm
just
in.
Do it. All right then.
Hey, Ralph, she doesn't work much, but she did
and
a
by
lot.
Much, you mean at all?
Right. She hasn't been doing much since that stage play last year.
Yes.
But she was in a lot of movies and TV shows, so she probably has a fair residual income to live off of, right? Wouldn't you say?
How much does she make, Ralph? Break it down into weeks, would you?
Brand new year.
Yep.
I am not at all familiar with her financial status, Bean.
Okay.
In any way, shape,
but in
or
your
form.
Is your guesstimate that she worked enough as a kid with enough shows that were in repeats forever that she probably still makes a pretty good living.
What shows that are in repeats forever? What series was she on that we're still watching on MeTV on Sundays? She never had a TV series.
I thought she did. I thought she was a Disney kid or something.
Nope.
Why don't you do just a little research before asking a question?
Well, because, look, I wouldn't have to ask questions if I knew the answer. I'm just throwing it out there because I thought, you know, Mr. Hollywood over there might know.
Look, she made a bunch of films for Disney early on in her career. Freaky Friday, Parent Trap.
Mm-hmm. She was in Mean Girls, I remember. Right?
So she made some films.
Okay. But probably not a big income.
I'm just saying, I know she's had a very, she's lived a very high lifestyle as well.
She spends a lot of money.
Tend to burn through a lot of cash that way. And I remember she had trouble with creditors not too long ago. And so I'm guessing she's not,
How's she paying for this trip to Costa Rica?
How much does the month cost? Has anyone checked that? Unbelievable.
I'm curious.
Stop being curious.
And I think if you really thought about it, Bean, you could figure it out too,
or do some research.
Prostitution?
Well, no, I would never say that.
Oh, I thought that's what you were.
But I think when you see a lot of ladies posting pictures on yachts and in faraway places, and then on their Instagram, it's like contact me at gmail.com. Maybe they're being paid to go there.
Okay, I got you.
Or the tab is being picked up by someone.
Yes.
Right.
In exchange for their company.
Exactly.
Right.
That could happen.
You're alluding to Allie McKay.
Yeah. All right.
Fair enough.
Asked and answered. Thank you.
Bean's got to know.
No.
What kind of IRA do you think she has? Do you think she has any sort of retirement plan? Wouldn't that be a Roth IRA, do you believe? And I think she'll roll over any CDs this year.
He is on fire.
Okay.
Sweet Jesus on a pogo stick. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rowan Atkinson is 61 years old today. Most famous probably for his work in Blackadder or as the character Mr. Bean. He is 61. John Singleton, the very talented director, is 48. Norman Reedus, our buddy from Walking Dead, is 47. Julie Chen, host of the Smack.
Big Brother?
The Smack? The Lick?
Oh, yeah, she's
the
on
lick?
The Lick. I think
the
she's lick. On The Lick.
I don't think it's The Lick.
The Hug. It's one of those all
she's a chew or a talk. She's
the
one
talk,
of
the talk. The talk. I think she walks the talk. She's 46 years old today. She's lovely and talented, and everything she does is great. Mm-hmm. And her husband is powerful and
That's
handsome
correct.
And smart.
Yep.
Our boss.
Eddie Redmayne's 34 years old today.
Hack.
He's, boy, is he a good actor. Except for that Jupiter Rising.
I don't remember that one.
You haven't seen Jupiter Rising?
I don't
is it
know.
Jupiter Rising? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
I didn't say I hadn't seen it. I said I don't remember.
You don't remember.
Very different.
You got to go back and watch him eat some scenery. And that
really?
Well, that's pretty spectacular work. Kate McKinnon of SNL. Love her so much. Maybe one of the top three most talented women ever to come out of that TV show.
Wow.
She is remarkably talented. Not just a funny actress and character creator, but an impressionist. And she just has so much talent. 32. The Arctic Monkey singer Alex Turner is 30. And model Irina Shayk celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is, I know, just the first week of January, but we are already thinking April. Two glorious weekends in the desert. It's Coachella 2016, and tickets are going on sale today at 11 a.m. Do not miss out on this. All the details at KROQ.com for both weekends and the complete lineups, including LCD Sound System and Disclosure and Guns N' Roses and Halsey and Calvin Harris. And the list just goes on and on. You know how Coachella does with like 200 acts over the
weekend. Yeah, when you're out there, it's such a big place. It is impossible to believe that it actually sells out ever, but it does.
It does, and it will. So 11 o'clock this morning, make sure you're all set. Get all the details you need right now at KROQ.com.
Let's talk about schools tattooing children. This seems good to me. I'm down with this. I think I like it.
Now, when I heard about this story, last week or whatever, I thought, well, nobody's tattooing anybody without the parents' permission. And then I saw that it was the henna tattoos, and that's why I was confused there was any kind of controversy at all. Don't those things just come off after a few days?
They just fade. I don't know how long it takes, but they just fade.
Yeah. It takes a while. You got to scrub.
Yeah, okay. Now, how would you guys feel if your kid came home with a henna on his or her hand or leg or whatever?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
It wouldn't bother me either.
But is this parent upset because the school did it? Like, did the kid have a choice, or did they go, you sit down, you put your hand right there, we're going to handle the crap out of you?
Well, apparently it was...
I don't know how they would say it, but
I doubt it would be handle the crap out of you. Apparently it was Multicultural Day at Ed White Elementary School in Seabrook, Texas, and students had henna, which is a traditional Indian body art, applied to their hands. One woman in particular quoted in the article named Tammy Samore picked up her second grader after class, was not happy to see it. I asked what it was. My daughter said it was henna, and I said, what's henna? And then she told the news, somebody tattooed my daughter without permission. I think part of what's going on here, by the way, is that she says that henna has ties to Hindu and Muslim faiths.
It does?
She was upset that her daughter was going through Christmas with what she said was another religion's celebratory symbolism on her hands.
Wow, that woman needs to get laid.
I think that's what's going on here, is that she was offended that some of that Muslim crap. I think that's what was going on here. But I don't have any problem with it. But then I don't have a kid in school coming home with something on her hands that I didn't know about.
No, but I imagine you'd love it, Bean. Bean is a dad. Out. That would be great. He'd be going, son, good work. Go back and get another one tomorrow.
Let's find out more from the school's point of view, because I have not heard them interviewed at all. And we do have the principal, Mark McGinn. He is from Ed White Elementary School in Seabrook, Texas, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. McGinn. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good.
It's great to speak with you, don't you know?
Even better now.
Well, it's great to talk to you as well. What about Miss Samore, though, who seems to be very upset that her little girl came home with henna on her hands?
I don't understand what all the hullabaloo's about, frankly. It's Multicultural Day. We were teaching them about the customs of other cultures, which I think can only prove to bring people together.
I can see that.
Think, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you talk to her and explain that to her or no?
Well, we sent a letter home with all the kids before this even happened saying that they were going to have henna.
I see.
Oh!
I think the problem may have been that Miss Samore has no idea what henna is.
Okay.
Or
all
why
right.
it's done or anything about anything is the problem.
Mm. So you were trying to teach the kids in your small town in Texas, hey, there are people who live in Spain and they do things different. And then over here you got India and this is Australia and there's a big world out there and you should know about it.
Exactly. It's a large part of our curriculum here at the Ed White Elementary School, don't you know? We have ongoing classes with all different kinds of experiences for the children to understand different kinds of cultures.
More than just this, more than the henna?
Oh, yeah. Oh. For example, right now, we're giving actual tattoos to the children.
Well, that's
culture is that?
Teaches them about prison life.
Okay.
We're giving them a little tear right next to their eyes.
I feel that's not going to be helpful.
That's too much.
Great.
It's too much. That's permanent, though. What's happening?
That's our beekeeping class there. We teach children the importance of honeybees.
Okay.
By just throwing them into a room filled with honeybees.
Is it one at a time right in there?
Not one at a time. It's a group. We don't have all day for this kind of stuff. We slather them with honey and throw them in a bee room. And that way they get to interact with the bees.
Interact.
Okay. Wow. That doesn't sound fun.
Every child's given an EpiPen, so don't worry about it.
All right, good.
Okay.
Well, that sounds like a...
I'm concerned now. What's going on, Principal?
That's just Texas. We live in Texas. There's just machine gun fire all the time.
Okay.
That's outside the school. That's not even us.
Oh,
Kevin.
Oh.
What class is this?
That's just me.
Oh.
The only way I can get through the day.
Here we go. Actress Zoe Bell from Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight on the program today. We got a brand new internet roundup, and it's a good one. Our first of 2016 coming up, and we're going to once again send you to Colorado, the ultimate prize package for skiing and ski boarding at Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort. That's all on the way this morning here on the world famous K-Rock.
We are not smart,
mm-mm.
And that's why sometimes we have to bring in experts. And yesterday we were having a conversation about how the CIA supposedly killed JFK because he was asking about the UFO program, and he shouldn't have known, so he was killed by our own government. All right. Story over. We were moving on. Then Muggs puts in giant red letters on all of our screens. I believe that. The CIA did kill him. It happened. I saw a special on it.
So Muggs apparently knows more about this than we do, and that's why it's time for Beer Mug Explains Things.
Beer Mug is really lame. Beer Mug
brain. That's what we used to think, but now Mug is so bright. He has the answer, also a pretty good dancer, has the cure for cancer. Beer Mug, come in light. Beer Mug, explains things. Beer Mug, explains things. Beer Mug, explains things. We are dumb dumbs. Come on and tell us how it is, cause you are such a whiz. It's time for Beer Mug Explains Things.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to thank you guys for viewing me as the foremost expert on this topic.
Yeah, and we were being serious when we said that.
Yes.
So that's good.
I have researched this JFK assassination conspiracy for many, many years. It's one of my favorite things in history. So any time.
Okay. All right. Hold on. And by favorite, you mean tragic but interesting.
Yes, interesting. It perks.
I love it. I love watching that video.
No. It's a very sad.
Man. When his head splattered. No. I put it to music beds. It's great.
No.
Okay.
It interests me. It perks my interest very much.
Okay. Let me just stop and say, Muggs, you certainly are not alone. That is I think that's a controversy that will never die out. There will always be people who believe that it was impossible that that was a single gunman who inflicted that damage on the president. And there had to have been a bigger conspiracy of people that was then covered up after the assassination. I don't think you're alone in that.
All right. Now, B, let me ask you this question then. If it wasn't a single shooter and it was a group, how many people agree that it was our own CIA or that it was, you know?
I mean, look, I think that's one of the theories. I mean, look, this isn't the first time this has been brought up, but I've never met any of these people in person who believe it. So that's why I'm fascinated to get Muggs' take on it, because apparently he's done the research. I haven't done the research.
This is exciting. We're going to put this to bed. You know, early 2016, it's going to end everything.
Yeah.
So people can be satisfied.
Right.
Yes.
So why don't you believe it was just a nut job with ties to Russia who decided to kill the president that day in Dallas?
Because there are so many underlying accounts that all seem to tie up and have a relation with one another. Mm-hmm. You just look at Lee Harvey Oswald himself. They put it to bed as, oh, this lone crazy nut who had the capacity and the ability to pull off amazing marksmanship to kill the president.
Sure.
When he was a so-so shooter in the Marines.
Oh, yeah, okay? Right.
And here's the thing. And the UFO thing, it's just scratching the surface. The CIA, when it all comes to the end of the day, the CIA is involved. You look at Lee Harvey Oswald. He defected to Russia. Mm-hmm. And that's fact.
Right.
He defected to Russia.
And that's where the CIA's headquarters is.
So here's the thing.
Wait, what?
Here's the thing, Kevin. He defected to Russia during the Cold War. One of the most dangerous times in American history.
Why would Bay you want to be there?
Right? So all of a sudden, he makes it known he's a Marxist, he's a communist, whatever. Uh-huh. He defects. All of a sudden, he's let back in the country. Like, oh, I'm just going to come back to the U.S. Like, no, nothing. How would he be able to come back to the United States if the CIA wasn't involved and let him back in somehow?
Exactly. I didn't know that the CIA had anything to do with immigration, with people who come.
No, I think Muggs is explaining that they had to have been behind it for that to happen. Right, Muggs?
Yes, exactly. If you
don't think that they brought him in.
If God forbid any of us decided today that, oh, Allie's going to go join ISIS.
Right.
Right? Which she's not, obviously.
Right.
If the government, if the government's listening.
50-50.
Okay. If the government's listening. Do you think that the U.S. will be like, oh, Allie wants to come back to the U.S. after she's joined ISIS? Oh, yeah, come back.
But don't you think that security is so different from 1963? I mean, in a post-9/11 world, obviously we pay a lot more attention to things like that. I think people used to travel to and fro a lot more easily in America in the 1960s. I mean, you didn't even need ID to travel, into the 80s.
Okay,
you literally could just go get on a plane. I mean,
either way, one guy could not have pulled this off.
Okay.
No way.
Okay, why?
The amount of planning that has to go. I mean, like, you look at the assassinations in history. Okay, Lincoln, Garfield, right? Mm-hmm. Those were one guy. Those were one nut conspiracy.
Garfield the cat?
No,
yeah, it was
the president. But to plan such an attack, a coordinated attack. You look where it happened in Dealey Plaza. Mm-hmm. There, it's like an ambush zone.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the streets and how the motorcade came down, and here's the number one giveaway right here.
Okay.
You look at the Zapruder film, and it's once again it's tragic. It's very morbid. But
I saw this part on Seinfeld with the magic bullet.
That's the thing.
Right?
Don't even get me started on the Magic Bullet.
I'm with you.
You look at the actual Zapruder film and the final shot that, in fact, kills JFK. The back of his head blows off, right? I mean, that's what it appears to be, right? So right. If there's a shooter coming from behind him, how mm-hmm. could in shooting, how could the back of his head blow off? Wouldn't it mean that there was somebody in front of him shooting at him?
Look, Muggs, I'm no expert on this, and you probably know more about this topic than I do.
But he doesn't, Bean.
But wasn't there a Warren Commission on this of experts, of ballistics people, of government people, of scientists that looked at all of that research and came to the conclusion that Lee Harvey Oswald made this shot?
Yes.
You think there's a massive cover-up?
Here it is.
For the CIA? Is that what
fact,
you're talking about?
You're right, Bean. The House Select Committee on Assassinations, headed up by Earl Warren.
Sure.
Found out that Lee Harvey Oswald...
Muggs went on the computer yesterday knowing that this was going to happen. I need some facts. I need some names.
You don't think he had that at his fingertips?
Nope. The HSCA,
right.
as it's known,
sure.
Concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald was in fact involved, but there was a conspiracy as well. They concluded that.
Uh-huh. And did they say that the conspiracy was by the CIA?
That hasn't been linked.
Okay.
But
you're good with it.
But you look at the time in history.
Uh-huh.
JFK was trying to broker peace with the Soviet Union
right.
and the Cold War. Well, we all know war, big money-making machine. You guys mm-hmm. all seen Oliver Stone's JFK, right?
Sure.
Right. Just watch that. It'll bring you up to speed on everything I'm talking about.
Okay. Here's what I want to know.
He's
always
unbiased.
When I want accurate history, I go right to him.
Listen.
So, Muggs, the reason this whole conversation came up is because Ralph was reading an article about a guy who says the president was killed because he was trying to open up UFO files. Do you believe that was the reason? Or do you think it had to do more with their concerns about the Cold War?
I think the UFO subject just begins to scratch the surface on what our government wants us and doesn't want us to know.
Okay, but don't you think that all presidents know those things when they become president? Like, a guy can be a president and still have to ask somebody for details on the UFO program and they get killed by them?
Absolutely. I mean, Kevin.
You don't think they know?
I think our
like
government.
Does Obama know what?
I don't think Obama knows half the things that are going on in our country. When we send special forces into the Middle East to get ISIS, he didn't know about it because it has to remain secret. In order for the special forces to go in and eradicate ISIS, no one can know about it.
Including
and,
the president.
Not even
and,
the president.
Wait, including the president?
Including the president.
He doesn't know that?
No, they have to keep him in
Did
the dark.
Did he know we were fighting in Afghanistan?
I believe he knew that.
Okay.
But
on
certain topics, they have to keep the president in the dark just for confidentiality purposes. They don't want anything to be blown. And if you look at that
Because the president usually just shoots off his mouth. That's what they do
yeah,
with state
talker.
Secrets.
Listen,
yeah.
next thing you know, he's on Instagram just blowing the whole thing for everyone. It's ridiculous.
During that time in history, there was so much espionage going around.
Right.
You know, this is fact. Our government was trying to kill Fidel Castro.
Yes.
By poisoning his cigars.
Right.
Making his beard fall off or whatever. The CIA trained... Are the troops that went into the Bay of Pigs invasion a complete failure?
Okay.
Yeah. So
what makes you think they were so good with this particular case where the CIA was perfect and they put him up to it and they somehow assassinated the president and no
and
one
got away
found
with
out?
It.
Do yourself a favor. Go, go
do
on
myself
Google.
A favor.
Oh, go on Google. Okay.
Oh, okay.
If it's Google, does, what am I gonna Google does know everything.
If it's on there.
Search the three tramps. The three tramps.
How dare you.
Okay. All right, listen. We're out of time, Muggs, and you're right. We have just scratched
the surface. I just got going.
I know. Here. I know. I think this is a podcast you need to do. I really do.
That'd be awesome.
So your conclusion is, in your mind, what percentage is it likely that the CIA killed President Kennedy for whatever reason and covered it up?
In the high 90s.
Yeah!
In the high 90s. All right. Absolutely.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Beer Mug Explains Things.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Beer Mug Explains Things.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Allie, you want to share the good news that a listener brought up about Beer Mug?
Yeah, said now we don't need to fire him. Because the CIA will just handle it.
Oh, that's, awesome.
That's a great point.
Right.
Oh.
His head's going to go,
to the left, and back. To the left, and back. To the left, and back.
Mugs should be very careful walking to his car today after the show. I guess that's all we're saying. Hey, Ralph is here, and it's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's new? What's going on? What's the latest? What's the haps?
Talk about conspiracies. Did you hear about this? Is it there was once a real-life King Kong that roamed the Earth. Scientists have discovered...
What?
There was a real-life giant ape that once roamed our planet.
Okay.
They're calling him Gigantopithecus.
Is that the setup for the joke?
And yeah,
joke? What? It was a giant ape. Okay. Well over 9 feet tall. Weighed about 5 times that of a normal adult male human. And it roamed the semi-tropical forests of southern China and Southeast Asia. A giant ape roamed the earth. I woke up in a Bugatti. No, there's no Bugatti. Oh. It's just, can you imagine a giant 10-foot-tall ape?
And then it married Lamar Odom? Where are you going with this? I'm kind of...
Wow.
This is science.
It's kind of cool.
What happened to
it? Very cool. Climate change. Thanks, Obama.
Right.
Nice work.
Tomorrow we could have Mug explain that one.
He's going to explain the real-life King Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently climate change killed off the fruits in the forests that it ate. It starved. Now it's no more. Now we have no more giant apes. Thanks. Aerosol cans. That's why I don't use the hairspray anymore.
Right.
I use the pump.
Yeah. You like it better, but you can't use it anymore because of stupid Obama.
The aerosol was better because you the pump, you get the clumps, and then you say, I got to go wash my hair again because my hair's a mess. Stupid Obama ruined the apes.
You can't use hairspray.
Right?
Because hairspray is going to affect the ozone. I'm trying to figure out. Let's see. I'm in my room in New York City, and I want to put a little spray so that I can. Sure. But I hear where they don't want me to use hairspray. They don't want me to use the pump. Right. Because the other one, which I really like better than bing, bing, bing.
Bing, that bing
and
noise
then it comes
makes.
Out in big globs, right? And you're stuck in your hair and you say, oh, my God, I got to take a shower again. My hair's all screwed up.
Right.
Ladies gentlemen, the next president of the United States right there.
It's the greatest thing ever. You know, I was on the fence, but now he's getting my vote because I feel the same way about hairspray.
He sure has the best words, though, I'll tell you that.
Congratulations to Quentin Tarantino. Director of such legendary films as Reservoir Dogs, of course, Kill Bill, Pulp Fiction, Django Unchained, and now The Hateful Eight. You know, he's got the Oscars for writing screenplays to Pulp Fiction and Django Unchained. He put his hands and footprints in the Hollywood Chinese theater courtyard yesterday. That must have been quite the event in the downpour as he's trying to put his hands and feet in cement. He told reporters,
just
"I wanted
washes
to-
away. They try again.
Right. You'll never see it. It didn't last. I wanted to put my hands and footprints in Grauman Chinese courtyard way before I ever had a career. So this is something I wanted to do my whole life. So congratulations to Quentin. I thought that was pretty cool.
Nobody writes like Quentin Tarantino.
He is unique, voice. Mm-hmm. And speaking of awards and congratulations, Steve Carell's getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
All right,
11:30 a.m. If you want to check it out inside the Egyptian Theater. On Hollywood Boulevard, Will Ferrell, his buddy, will be speaking at the ceremony along with Adam McKay, his good friend, who directed Steve's most recent performance in The Big Short. The movie.
You guys see that movie over the holidays?
I have not seen it yet.
I saw it.
How is it, Kevin?
It's great. And I'm not quite smart enough for it, but it's great.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand it.
It's confusing.
But it's good.
It was really well done. And Adam McKay, bless his heart, was going out of his way for people like me to try and make it so that we can understand it.
Well, not people like you.
Well, right.
You would have animated it. For people like you.
And made it 20 minutes long.
But it's great.
A lot of pie charts.
Christian Bale is great.
And he's pale.
He's pale as well.
You're right. You're not wrong there.
Steve Carell is great. It's really good.
Look, Muggs is here to explain the housing bubble collapse if you need it.
Oh, I can't wait.
God, I'm glad.
And let's take a look at the TV ratings. Pretty good news for The Bachelor. Had big numbers on ABC for its season opener. Same as those of last season, which were also very high. So congratulations to The Bachelor. Supergirl had its biggest audience since mid-November as well. You watching the Supergirl?
Fantastic.
I love that show.
I love that show, too.
It's really well done.
I didn't see this week's yet.
Oh.
But I do love it.
Oh. So good.
Spoilers, by the way. I love Hank Henshaw and what they've done with that character and who he is. Who he really is.
Same.
You don't know, man.
I don't.
And NBC's Superstore and Telenova did very well in their premieres as well.
Superstore, very funny, you guys.
I've not seen it yet. But
very, very funny, yes.
What?
I was really surprised and impressed by it.
Yep. I saw the trailer for it, and I thought it was funny, but I assumed that Bean would feel the opposite.
No, I really, liked it.
Too many shenanigans going on in that for me.
Doesn't seem like your type of show, but all right.
Has anyone seen the new Eva Longoria
No.
Telenova?
I'm not, no.
Is it Telenova?
That's right. Yeah. Telenova.
And Biggest Loser, apparently, was down 25% from last season's premiere. That's great. Lost 25%. That should be something to celebrate over there on that show. You lose a quarter of your total net self. Today's celebrity birthday is Rowan Atkinson, 61 years old today. John Singleton, speaking of talented directors, he's 48. Norman Reedus, know him from The Walking Dead. He's 47. Julie Chen, TV show host for the Big Brother and The Slap, 46 years old. Eddie Redmayne, 34 years old. There's too many.
I miss The Slap. I miss The Slap. That was
chew,
great.
The walk, the skip, The View. Yeah. There's just too many the shows with everybody. And it's all the same show. They just sit around talking about stuff.
Yeah.
That that talk, though, boy. Have you ever tried to watch this?
Is that the one that she's on?
That's the one she's on. She's on The Talk.
No.
There's The View, which is bad enough.
Okay.
But then flip over to The Talk, and you write yourself an impassioned letter of apology to The View after you watch The Talk. Dear Whoopi, I'm sorry about what I said before. I've written so many of those letters.
Is The Talk the one that Sharon Osbourne is on?
Yes.
Is it also the one that Aisha Tyler is on?
Yes.
Oh.
Keep going, Bean. You're on a roll.
Is it also the one that Sarah Gilbert is on?
Yes.
Yes. And I think she created it.
And it's still bad?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Eddie Redmayne, very talented actor. Currently can be seen in The Danish Girl, 34 years old today. Kate McKinnon of SNL is 32. Alex Turner, Arctic Monkey, lead singer, is 30 years old. And model Irina Shayk celebrates her 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Oh, sh. Oh, God. Did you feel that?
What?
Oh, my God.
Hmm?
Holy.
What?
Oh, sh. It's moving. I can't believe the ground is moving.
You're fine.
Did you feel that?
You're fine.
Holy sh.
Everybody's fine.
Oh, God. It's rolling. No, no, now it's rocking.
Okay.
No, now it's rolling.
Okay.
Holy.
Look.
Oh, God, it stopped.
All right, look. I know that there was an earthquake. Some people felt it was in Banning. Well, 4 miles deep under Banning, 4.5. I get that. But let me just tell you this. There's nothing more boring than people talking about where they were when an earthquake happened. Nothing.
And what it felt like.
Right. Maybe what your dreams were like. Maybe that's – or what your diet is like. Maybe those are in the same ballpark. But stories about how you experienced the earthquake are always terrible stories. So don't tell us that as we open up the phones to take the first What's Good set of phone calls for 2016. This is where you get on the air to share with us something that we should be talking about, something interesting that's going on in the world or in your life that's not earthquake related. 1-800-520-1067. That's our number. You can call right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we will put you on the air for Kevin and Bean's What's Good for 2016.
Which we're calling How Did It Feel This Morning? When
No, we're not doing that.
No. What?
Nope. I'm suggesting no calls about earthquakes because nothing happened. There's nobody out there who has a good earthquake story.
I'd like to know.
If you want to prove me wrong, if you've got a great story from the earthquake from 10 minutes ago, sure, feel free to call. But I suspect it's going to be on any other topic. 1-800-520-1067.
All right, let's talk about Sylvester Stallone not doing Rambo anymore. Oh. It's a bummer, right? Did you guys love Rambo like I did?
Yeah.
I never saw a Rambo movie.
You see any of them?
What?
No.
First Blood? What?
Nope.
What?
Never saw any of them.
Huh.
First Blood?
Not for me.
What if I say it higher? First Blood?
I have no problem with Mr. Stallone. I loved the Rocky movies. I saw all of those. But Rambo, not so much for me. Just too much running around and shooting and yelling.
That's the perfect movie.
I know. That's what you want. Sylvester Stallone, who, as you may remember, started the Rambo franchise back in the early 80s, I want to say, and did the most recent one in 2008, Rambo 4. He was doing an interview with Variety magazine recently, and he said he has no intention of reprising his role of that iconic military war hero. He says, the heart is willing, but the body says, stay home. So let's get the update from Sly himself. You know, we've always had a good relationship with Mr. Stallone, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Sylvester, how are you, man?
Hey, how are you guys doing? You know?
Doing great. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
So you said doing another Rambo would be like, it's like fighters that go back for one last round and get clobbered. It's time to leave it to someone else.
Yeah, you know, I've been working on a script, you know, for Rambo 5, you know, for years. And, you know, it's just sitting there. But, you know, let's face it, you know, I'm 69 years old now, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, action films, you know, to do a whole action film, a solo action film, there's a lot of work, you know, right. and a lot of physical exertion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I don't have the thing anymore, you know.
Yeah, but can't you do with Rambo what you did with Rocky, which is just you're the mentor for the new up-and-coming fighter?
Well, you know, it's like they want to do the series now, the TV series, like Son of Rambo. You know, it's like Son of Godzilla, Son of King Kong,
right,
Son
right.
of Frankenstein.
Right.
I don't know. I think if you do it, you got to have Rambo, you know?
Yeah.
But I want to do it. I want to do it.
You just said you don't want to do it.
I want to do it.
You do?
My heart wants to do it.
Okay.
But I keep having this little voice in my head, you know, and keep saying over and over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
It just can't get out of my head.
So weird that we could hear it.
It goes straight in my head. It's like Richard Crenna is living in my head.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
He keeps telling me it's over.
Wow. Yeah.
But you're okay with that.
It's over, Johnny.
Hey! Oh.
It's over.
Nothing's over.
Oh, no.
Nothing's over.
Oh,
no. Oh,
come on.
They drew first blood. They called me. Kevin Bunn Show called me and asked me about Rambo.
No one's coming after you. No one's fighting with you. It's
they're coming
just...
home. They called me baby killer and spit on me.
No. None of us did that.
And then they came and threw it all over me. Oh. I got a stand all over me. I'm not saying don't die. Don't die.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Sly, you're just an actor. You're not a freedom fighter. You're just an actor.
I just had a Vietnam flashback. That was awful. You
weren't in Vietnam. You weren't in Vietnam at all. That was your
character. When I was there rooting the rice patties, you know, when I was fighting Charlie.
Okay, that didn't happen. That didn't happen.
I can't believe it.
It's over, Johnny.
Oh, no. Here we go.
It's over.
Nothing's over.
Okay, right.
Nothing's over. You guys.
You okay?
It's over, Johnny.
Oh, no.
It's over.
Yeah, I think it's over.
Okay. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We want you on the show. It's time for What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Look, there's a million things we could be talking about on the show, and I'm sure there's stuff you want us to talk about. That's why we have What's Good for you to call us at 1-800-520-1067 so we don't spend all of our time talking about Rambo and who killed Kennedy. I mean, maybe you've got some better ideas. Why don't we start with our man, Mark, to get us going on line one, please. He is in Brea, and he is up first on Kevin Beans What's Good. Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, kids. What's going on?
What's good? You tell us, man.
Hey, did you guys see Obama cry like a little girl?
Did I see him get emotional while he was standing at the White House yesterday with victims of gun violence? Yes, I did.
There were tears.
Okay. What if there were tears? Then what's your conclusion, Mark?
Ronald Reagan would kick his ass. Get out of his grave and kick his ass.
That'd be pretty cool to see. I got to be honest.
Of the free world, you're not supposed to cry.
So, do you not want the president to be human?
I'm not saying not to be human, but, like, show some cojones.
He was standing there with people in wheelchairs who had been shot, with parents who had lost kids at Sandy Hook. It was an emotional.
Bean, you're crying too. Stop it.
Yeah, Bean. Like a little girl. Bean.
All right, later.
All right, thank Mark's you very much done. For the call. Love him so much. Well, he just dropped the mic and left the room, as well he should. Let's go to Adolfo, line two, please. He is in Los Angeles. 1-800-520-1067, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Adolfo, what's good?
Hey, what's up, party people?
What is good with you?
Well, I hate all these fake resolutionary people that make a commitment. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get in shape. I've been going to the gym for about 20 years, and I got to say, Monday was crazy packed. Like, what the hell? Look at all these fresh fish. So I said, okay. So then Tuesday was kind of late. Today, back to the regular people. Everybody dropped out.
Right.
They gave us a fight before they even started the battle. That's good.
So, wait, are you mad at them for showing up at the gym at the beginning of January or for quitting going to the gym 3 days later? Both. He's mad at them for both.
They're both, you know, because it's so packed. It's like rush hour after work at the gym. That's why I go at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Right. But this happens every year, though, right? I mean, this is not a new thing. Every January, the first week, it's going to be busy in there, and you just know it, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm ready for it. But last year, I got to say, they were there for like a month, you know? They gave up 2 days. They probably could have wiped their own ass. So
now you're frustrated with their lack of enthusiasm commitment to keep going.
You're either going to commit or not.
All right. Okay. All right. There you go. You have heard. Adolfo has spoken. Commit or not. Thank you very much for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Happy New Year to you. Let's go to line four. Baldwin Park is where we find Hector this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Hector.
What's going on, man?
What's good?
Good. Nothing much, man. Just out in the morning enjoying this weather. But, hey, so a lot of us folks have saw Star Wars. I know a bunch of your listeners have seen Star Wars. But there's two unanswered questions that leave us hanging there. In your opinion, who is Rey to Luke Skywalker, and who the heck is Snoke?
All right, Alan McKay, you're our resident Star Wars expert. What are your thoughts on these from The Force Awakens?
Well, Snoke is the supreme leader, obviously.
Right. So he's the new emperor,
yeah,
basically.
He's the new big cheese, whatever. Rey, I don't know. Is she going to be a Skywalker? Not sure. Might she be a descendant of Obi-Wan Kenobi? Possibly. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so excited for the next one, because they set all of these questions up to be answered.
I'll tell you also what I was excited about was she was a great character. She was really good in that movie.
A great role model for young girls, too.
Yeah, that's in that.
Yeah, mostly that.
That's true. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call, sir. Hey, Allie, I heard some talk that Snape was a...
Snoke.
Snoke.
You've done that so many times.
Well, twice.
Harry Potter. Oh, never mind.
I have heard that Snoke was a projection, was like a hologram himself, that there's nobody in the Star Wars universe that's that big, that this might be a little person Wizard of Ozing it. Any thoughts on that theory?
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try Brian. He's got another story in the news he wants to talk to us about. He's in Huntington Beach on line five. Brian, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's good?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning. What's good?
I'd like to talk about the armed patrons that took over the Malheur National Wildlife Refugee headquarters in Oregon.
All right. Why do you call them patriots?
You know, they are constitutionalists in my mind. Trying to stand up, you know, against the federal government seizing their land. It's another case of the BLM, you know, trying to take what they think is theirs.
So a lot of people might even call them terrorists, though. You say the other way.
Absolutely. You know, in my mind, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And if you follow up and people are familiar with what's been going there since the Settlement Act, I believe everybody, all the settlers that there have been railroaded out of their property.
So now I haven't been paying very close attention to this story, but the shortest possible version of it is that people are disputing land that the federal government claims as their own. They say should still be in private hands, and that's what the standoff's about, right?
More or less, you had people that were supporting a gentleman and his son that are getting sent back to prison because they were convicted of arson for backburning on private land that went over into federal land. Mm-hmm. But that's not the situation here. They're trying to stand up for them because they're not standing up for themselves.
And what do you think is going to happen? How is this going to be resolved? Both sides so far are trying to keep it peaceful, but it's really because they're not working toward resolving it. They're just waiting the other party out. What do you think the eventual conclusion is going to be to this?
Well, in my opinion, you know, they've successfully, the BLM isn't managing the land at this moment. You know, they have the national headquarters. They have it under siege, or they're occupying it, and the federal government is not at the moment. So,
I find that most of the time when there's a standoff, some type of a military standoff between the government and citizens, it doesn't go well for one side.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, usually the government runs out of patience and they wake it up.
Yeah, and you know, God willing, that's not the case, you know?
Okay. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it, man. You do the same and let us know what happens, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right, do we have time for one more? We got to leave it there. Let's go to Chandler, line six, please, La Cunada.
Hi. Long time. Okay, yeah, you're laughing.
No, I'm sorry.
No, they're laughing at me because who am I to say we have time?
I'm laughing at Allie because Bean said we have time. I looked at the clock to see what time it was and to consider what's next and all that stuff, and Allie's just like, yeah, sure, let's go. Based on nothing.
So, in other words, make this good or Allie's going to look bad.
Come on, Chandler.
All right, Chandler, sorry, what's good?
Okay, first of all, I forgot to mention this, but I think that you guys should let girls who are under 21 run for Miss Double December.
I think what's the reason we don't do that, Kevin?
Turn your radio down first, please.
Does it have to do with alcohol on site? Is that
yeah,
what it is?
I think so.
It's in bars.
It's sort of in a bar, and then there's sort of alcohol around, and then sort of people are drinking the alcohol.
And I think some of it also is there are going to be events throughout the year that Miss Double December can go to, like singles parties and things like that are also 21 up, and that's why.
Turn down your radio, though.
Sorry, I'm in the car.
That's all right. You can still turn down your radio.
Right. But look, you guys. But
Allie, we blame you.
This is all Allie's fault.
Allie blows. One Whew, I am exhausted. I need a break. You know?
Why don't you take some time off?
I need to take some time
off.
Why
don't you take a couple days this week?
Because I feel like I really have worked a lot this
year. You should leave town.
Kevin, I think you maybe owe our listeners an explanation as to why we are 3 days in to 2016 after a 2 week break.
Right.
And you're not going to be here tomorrow.
I have to let you guys know I'm going to take a little bit more vacation after the beginning of the year, is what we heard last year.
Should we just be grateful that you came back for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Well, I don't feel that way.
The fact that you're going to be gone?
But I would like this to be a weekly thing, if that's cool.
What's going on, Monkey?
My wife bid on a thing for me to go to Barcelona, Spain, and to see a game of FC Barcelona, who's one of my favorite teams.
And she's not aware you have a job?
And
she's the one who didn't know that you have a job?
And meet Lionel Messi, the best player in the world.
Right, wow. And she did so not being
so
aware
have
that you have a job.
No, she's very aware of that.
Oh, okay.
So she tried to hook it up during the vacation, and they said, yeah, great, okay, oh, you know what, we're not going to do it then. And then she came back to me and she said, oh, well, maybe we can do it before New Year's. And we tried again, and they said, oh, yeah, they're not going to do it then. But they could do January, what's the 9th? I mean, what's Saturday, the 9th?
The 9th.
January 9th is a game, and we can do it then. And Melissa
said, oh, I wish I could do that, but unfortunately we're back at work then.
Right. No. I can't travel. I just came off a two-week vacation. I have to go.
This is meeting the best soccer player in the world ever.
Right.
Yeah. And it's your team.
So it's my team. And so...
Sure, Kevin was born and raised in Barcelona. Yeah. We all know that.
People don't know.
And that not be his team?
And so my wife says, we can't do that, right? And I was like, are you kidding? This is once in a lifetime. Mm-hmm.
When would Kevin ever let this job get in the way of him doing anything else that he wants to do?
Ralph,
that's
how
what she
dare
should
you?
Have realized. She should have realized. For the man who stays up 3 nights a week at midnight playing poker with this complete disregard for what condition he's going to be in the next day, why does anyone think Kevin would just, for even a second, think no?
This is the trip of a lifetime. This is something I will remember.
They don't play in the summer?
No, most of their season is all winter long.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Throughout the winter. So, but they said they could do it in early January, and I was like, you know what? I have a job. Okay, fine.
You didn't even do the first part.
Because what an opportunity.
Right.
It's going to be the best thing ever.
So Messi is your man.
Yes.
And what happens
How is it going to be the best thing ever, first of all?
Not for him, Ralph. For me.
Right. How is it going to be the best thing ever for you?
Because I worship the whole area. I worship the school that they train the guys in. I worship the stadium because it's awesome. I worship the team. They're playing. Lionel Messi's the best player in the world. Everything about it is awesome.
But wait,
the
meeting, still soccer?
The meeting. Yeah, yes. We're talking about soccer, okay. Believe it or not.
Sorry.
But the meeting of him.
Yes.
That in particular.
He's the greatest player in the world, right. I would say, ever.
And so
that's exciting.
So some of that's going to rub off on you? Is there a transfer involved?
Oh, God, I wish.
Is there some sort of cash and prize exchange?
I would have done that long. I get to meet the best player in the world.
Right.
How's that not exciting?
It may be exciting, but it's not the greatest thing ever.
It is for me. Well, you know, other than my kids, it is for me. Yes.
But what's going to happen in that moment? You're going to go, hi.
We're going to fall in love.
You're going to say hi. And he's going to say hi.
Well, he's going to say hola because
he'll be looking in the wrong direction, and then it'll be over.
I'll take a Kevin photo. I mean, he doesn't speak English, if that's what you're saying.
Well,
I mean, if
that's the issue. Better and better, then. This is
but I've
be
been brushing up on my Spanish so that I can talk to him and we can have a conversation.
You've been what?
I know a few Spanish words, and I think I'll be able to get by. I know puto. I know that.
Yeah. I don't think you want to say that to him.
I know culero.
Nope.
I know that. That's a word I know.
Mm-mm.
I know mierda.
Okay, don't use any of those
I know
words
that
Dave gave you.
Tell
Ralph what I brought up to you about the conversation that you were going to have in Spanish with Lionel Messi over the weekend.
Did you really say you were trying to learn Spanish?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Literally, he's been practicing.
Look, I said that, but they exaggerated. Maybe I said it poorly. What I said or meant was that I was going to come up with something to say to him in Spanish so that he would understand. This is yesterday, right, Bean, that we were talking about this?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so off the air. So I'm telling this to Bean, and Bean's like, oh, you're going to learn Spanish. Oh, that should go well. And so I thought, well, this is going to be great because I'll at least be able to say something to him. He'll say something back. Everything will be fine. Bean says... And you know that weird situation that most of you don't ever face, but I face on a daily basis, which is, how could I never have possibly thought of that? Bean says, how are you going to understand his answer?
Right. When he responds in Spanish, where does that leave you then?
I've been looking forward to this for, I don't know, a year. And I had never one time considered that.
You're amazing.
I never thought he's going to respond, and then what do I say?
Because you don't know.
Because I can't.
You're going to be the foreign exchange student in the room who's learned the one phrase.
Yep.
No more Yankee my wanky. And then you got nothing.
I think it's going to go well.
What do you want to happen, Kevin? Like in a dream scenario, what do you want to happen?
That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, how great can this interchange be?
That's the thing.
Can it be more than a handshake and a photo? I mean, literally, is there anything more than it can be?
Pretty much,
it be more than that?
Pretty much no. But there is one thing that I've narrowed down that I want to say to him. And that is, and Ralph will agree with this, the worst thing about soccer is the diving.
Right.
Guys,
flopping.
The guys get nowhere near
it's
you.
Among
and
the worst
you
things.
Roll
yes.
and you mm-hmm. hold your leg and you're about to die and then the ref mm-hmm. calls or doesn't make the call and you get up and run off. And I just despise that.
Right. Because they're all liars. They're all foreigners and liars. All soccer players are foreigners and liars.
Well, I don't think that's true,
science.
But there's way too much diving. So anyway, he's the best player in the world. He rarely does that. He stays on his feet. People try to take him out. He stays on his feet. And I just want to say, hey, congratulations. I'm really glad somebody is not diving every time they get touched. That's all I want to say. I appreciate
that
about
you. That's a pretty good opening line.
That's
by
all
the way,
I want. That's not opening. That's the whole thing. You know, I got nothing else.
And you're saying that in Spanish, though?
Yeah, I'll say it in Spanish.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend you try to translate anything about him being touched into Spanish because. I guarantee you, your translation will end up being something he does not want to hear from another man.
How do you think it'll go? Because I think I would be able to say one sentence.
I'm predicting a Magic Johnson-esque experience.
Oh, no.
That's what
no,
I'm...
No, but that was just...
Based on your prior experiences, I'm guessing it's going to be a little magical.
Which Jody is going to make fun of me now on line one. Hey, Jody. Jody.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know exactly what Kevin's going to say.
What's that?
You're great.
Yeah.
It's going to be the great Magic Johnson disaster.
What happened is I bumped into Magic Johnson. I wasn't expecting it, and that's what came out of my mouth, and I hate myself for that forever. But
that was just an instantaneous thing.
Yeah, I didn't know I was going to bump into him. Now I have a great plan.
Right.
Okay.
A great plan that he never thought about what Messier was going to say in response to him.
I just feel like, Kevin, and look, I want you to go, and I want you to have a great time, and I want it to be the best thing that ever happened, but I don't see any way with what's going on in your little head right now that it won't ultimately be disappointing for you. As much as you've been looking forward to this and as excited as you are, it like Ralph says, it's literally just going to be, hi, nice to meet you, let's get a photo, and then you're out, and it'll be over in 40 seconds.
No, but I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that, and I'm aware that there's no way it's going to be anything for him because he does this all the time, and he meets people all the time, and probably won't meet
him. Whatever with him, for you. It's not,
for me,
not
it's going
to
be awesome.
Dinner with the guy, and you're going to get great stories to tell.
But I'm not expecting that.
We both woke up in a fountain the next day. You're not going to have any story. It's just going to be a hi, how are you? It's going to be, well, that happened. It's going to be that.
Now I have to learn how to say, will you wake up at a fountain with me? In Spanish.
I mean, it's just the meet and greet.
Yes.
That's all it is.
But it's also watching practice and the entire team I love. I love watching, some of the guys that are on there. I can't wait. The game and the stadium, the whole thing. It's going to be the best time ever.
This is huge for him,
Thank you, Allie.
It is. Let's talk to Adrian real quick, line 5, please. He's in Chino. I think he's got some advice, cautionary tale for you, Kevin. Adrian, go ahead. You're on with the monkey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Advice for Kevin. Don't be too drunk because you can't roll your R's if you're slurring them.
Chip, how should I pronounce my R's?
Okay, I'm the expert on R rolling, okay?
No, we didn't ask for your Chewbacca impression. We said, could you roll an R for it?
That was totally in there.
You're the worst. How are you going to handle your alcohol consumption being nervous ahead of the big meeting?
Yeah. Here's the problem, Adrian, is that I sound completely drunk even when I'm not. So I might as well drink. That's my thinking.
Oh, good. Okay.
Right?
That'll give you a confidence boost.
Yo quiero mucho congratulados for you no flopo y muy touchissimo. And you're great.
And then I'll get taken out with a train dart.
All right, one more call.
We're
out of time.
We
got to get to Jeff, line 1, please. He's in Laverne. He has some concerns he wants to share. Jeff, you get the final word. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Ralph, I'm with you, okay? Me and you, we're right here.
All right.
Kevin,
yes.
You've been on this earth 40-some-odd years.
Right.
This fool cannot master the English language now, and you want to try something else?
Yeah.
Yes, but only one sentence.
He's got a whole weekend to cram Spanish into his brain.
But one sentence. That's all I need.
No, you're not going to do it.
All right, Jeff, I spoke. It is 7:53.
Is sheesh a thing that you say out loud, or is that... Is that an expression?
Sheesh.
Sheesh.
That's a thing.
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. Hey, ahead of Ralph's Showbiz report, how about this? 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to play a game just after 8 to win the ultimate getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in beautiful Colorado, if you like to ski or snowboard, this is the trip for you. Alaska Airlines round-trip airfare from LAX to Crested Butte, also lodging for 3 nights, lift tickets, ski rentals. It's the whole package. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. You'll play the game coming up right after this report from Ralph Garman.
Rocky Mountain High, Colorado.
Right?
Right?
That is a song that includes the word Colorado, yes.
And the word high.
Yes, it does.
I think that's the unofficial theme song of the great state of Colorado, isn't it?
Sure don't care.
I don't know. Okay. Maybe we should wait to our game. Maybe there's some fun facts about Colorado in the game we can play.
All right.
How about that? Downton Abbey.
How did it came back on Sunday night? How did he do?
As expected, big numbers for the final season premiere of Downton Abbey. Nielsen ratings showed nearly 10 million viewers tuned in on a Sunday night on PB Mother Love and S.
Well, it was a hot episode because Mr. Carson and Mrs. Hughes had the sex talk.
Oof. Nice.
Yeah, so you can imagine.
Yeah, I bet one of the Victorian sex talks is really pretty steamy stuff.
I say, Mildred, your pundendum must be quite fascinating. Oh, yes, Cyril, and I'm sure your manlyhood is also quite turgid.
Oh, so you did watch it.
It's a great episode. Then they put on starched clothes and walk the grounds.
And Bean, where were your pants?
I don't know why it had to turn ugly.
I just love the show.
Ugly, it's a great show. You guys are missing out from not watching it.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Donald Trump's coming back to Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Oh, those guys together. Hilarious. Because Jimmy will say huge, and then he'll look in the mirror, and Donald Trump will be looking back at him. Oh, it's going to be awesome. I hope they sing. Donald was on the show back on September 11th. Our second great national tragedy on that date. And huge numbers. Huge. Huge.
Huge.
So Monday, January the 11th, you'll be able to see a repeat performance of Donald Trump on the Jimmy Fallon Show.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
All right, good. It's going to be our president, everybody. What are you going to do then?
Sit down.
It's so funny then, will it?
Ralph, if you had to put a percentage on it, how likely is it that Donald J. Trump will be the next president of the United States?
60-40 against.
Okay. So you're saying 40% likely that he will be president.
Yeah.
That's scary. I want it to be like
I'm 90-10 against, I think, probably.
You're 90-10 against him being president?
You don't think he's going to get the Republican nomination?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Based on what?
He'll implode.
Based on his massive popularity? No, how could he implode? What could he do that would make him implode?
He certainly has tried everything.
In the face. That's
even then, his supporters are like, yeah, finally, there's a man who stands up for shooting reporters in the face. That's how I feel.
Just my opinion.
But based on, your opinion must be based on something you see, right?
What is that's a great question. What is it you think he's going to say that is more outrageous than what he's already said?
It's science.
No, it's not science. It's science. Your opinion.
No, it's science.
And I'm wondering what you're basing that opinion on.
You think he's done saying stupid things?
Not at all.
No, okay. Not at all.
But I don't think it matters.
But he could say a lot more offensive things as well. I mean,
how? To who?
You mean how, please?
He's in
things I can't say
women,
here.
Minorities, Muslims. He's
disabled.
The disabled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think he's got in his holster that he hasn't pulled out?
The other thing that I think
is he going to snap a baby's neck on stage?
Oh no!
Well, I hope not.
Well, I'm saying other than that, I can't see his popularity dipping.
I'm no political pundit, but to me, it also seems like as a lot of people fall away from the race, all of those people are going to go someplace else, and they're not going to go to Trump. So I think it'll just sort of happen. But I don't know.
Wait. You're saying as the Republican candidates fall away,
as
those supporters who support the Republican Party won't bolster up Trump. They'll just not be interested?
No. I think other people. They'll support other people.
You think other candidates like Mark Rubio will continue to climb and Trump has peaked, you think?
Yes, that's what I think.
Huh. All right.
Let's put a pin in that and we'll revisit it.
Dude! Hey, it's Kevin and me, live from the inauguration of President Trump.
Real quickly, I want to make a quick correction to my previous showbiz beat. First of all, here's a correction for yesterday's showbiz beat.
Okay.
Where Bean talked me into saying that American Idol was debuting last night.
Right, yes, actually, I believe that was the case.
Debuts tonight, actually.
Yes, I apologize.
And
wrong.
An hour ago, where I was desperately seeking for some confirmation or correction on the Eva Longoria show, Telenovela.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I kept saying it was Telenova. Is that right, Telenova? And everybody kept nodding their head saying, yes, it's Telenova. No, it's actually Telenovela is the name of the series.
All right.
And so I want to thank Natalie Abrams over at Entertainment Weekly who shot me an email and said, hey, idiot,
heads
up. Called Telenovela. Learn it. Love it. Leave it.
Do people think that we do research on anything at the show?
No, they couldn't possibly. Well, then... But I should get the name of the TV show right.
Yeah, I mean.
And I turned to the right people for help. Is it Telenova? Yes, it's Telenova.
By the way, after this weekend, Kevin is going to be watching the Telenovas in Spanish.
Well, he does it anyway. He's fluent.
Thank you.
Yo soy quiero chalupas. And mucho have habaneros fall over.
He's going to say to the greatest soccer player in the world. Greatest soccer player in the world, by the way. Isn't that kind of like being the winner at the Special Olympics?
It is not, sir.
If you're the greatest soccer player.
I mean, not... Considering it's...
I'm the greatest quarters... I'm the greatest beer pong player.
Yeah? So? What do you got?
I'm saying it's probably the most popular sport in 200 countries.
Yeah, but look at those countries.
So I'm saying it's all countries.
It's all country. It's like one place has like a coconut tree and a burro, and that's their most popular sport. Come on.
I'm saying
are you vying to be Trump's vice president? Is that what's happening here?
Real countries. But in real countries.
I'm not going to answer you, sir. This is stupid.
Oh. Kevin no longer will do anything.
Jeff just turned around to mark that right away.
Kevin will no longer have anything to do anything stupid.
Right.
Keep that in mind, boys and girls.
How dare you.
Mark the date. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rowan Atkinson, 61 years old today. John Singleton's 48. Norman Reedus, 47 years old. Julie Chen is 46. Eddie Redmayne, 34 years old. Kate McKinnon, 32.
This is a pretty good deal, you guys. The ultimate getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. Talking about airfare courtesy of Alaska Airlines from LAX to Crested Butte. Lodging for 3 nights, lift tickets, ski rentals. Looks like a beautiful place with a great weekend of skiing and snowboarding for you. Let's give away some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
Colorado, we love you so, so. I hope everybody knows about the wonderful things you are, because you're a true star. Colorado, we're coming your way. Gonna see your snowboard all day. Just make sure you know.
What do you gotta know?
You're Colorado.
This is Colorado, yeah.
This is Colorado, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They should use that in all their tourism commercials.
All right, Ralph, the lines are stacked. You are the quiz master this morning. What are we looking for?
Colorado, oh yeah, is the name of the game. I will be giving you a question about an interesting fact regarding the state of Colorado. It just couldn't be more obvious and simple than that.
All right, let's start with Jason in La Puente. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey,
you.
Jason. Originally coming from the Spanish language, what does the name Colorado mean, Jason?
Oh, that's easy, man. That's the color red.
The color red, absolutely.
Yeah, I could have told you that, too, because of my Spanish.
Yeah, right. Nope. Exactly. All right, Jason, you hang on. You are in the drawing. Someone will win the trip to Crested Butte, Colorado. It might be you. Good luck.
You know why they call it the color red, Kevin?
Because there's a lot of red in it.
Because the Colorado riverbed has that red mud, that red silt.
So I was right.
More or less, yeah.
Stephanie in Castaic Lake, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Stephanie. Which Colorado city is exactly 5,280 feet above sea level?
Which?
No, I'm sorry. Denver. Denver is the mile high city. That's.
Did she say Austin or Boston? What did she say?
What did you
say? Aspen.
Oh, Aspen. Aspen. Okay. All right. That's a much more reasonable guess.
5,280 feet is exactly 1 mile, and it's the mile high city, 1 mile above sea level.
Right. Yep.
All right.
Adam in Corona. Hello. Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin DeBee Show.
Adam, in 1873, two German immigrants established this brewery in Golden, Colorado.
Oh, is that Coors Light?
I don't think it was light back in 1873.
They don't really call the town that, but...
But Coors, the Coors Brewery, we'll accept your answer.
Give it to them.
Close enough.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, all right. You hold on.
Try the veal.
What happened to that guy?
I liked it.
Jesse in Long Beach, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. First of all, Kevin, I'm so jealous you're going to meet Messi. That's my all-time favorite player.
Right? And I'm not going to ruin it, right?
I hope so, man. I really hope so.
We have a listener who tweeted out after that conversation we had last half hour about Kevin meeting his soccer hero over the weekend. Here's the tweet. Headline, January 10th, American injures Messi at photo op while thinking of something to say.
Yeah.
So there's a little fast forward into our future there.
Steps on his foot, breaks a metatarsal.
How dare you.
Yeah. Here's your question, Jesse. It's an audio clue, so you have to listen carefully, okay? This rock band from Denver, Colorado, achieved success with the release of their debut album in 2005, which featured this hit single. Take a listen.
That's a good song.
Ooh, it's a good song.
That is The Fray.
It is The Fray from Denver, Colorado. That's right. Hold on. You're in the drawing.
All right. You hold on. Doing better than yesterday.
Much
yesterday was a rough
better
game.
Than yesterday.
Let's go to Mo in Yorba Linda. Hi there.
Hi,
Mo.
Hi.
This professional hockey franchise was originally founded in 1972 as the Quebec Nordiques. What name do they go by these days? NHL team.
The Wild?
In Colorado.
In Colorado. No, the Colorado Avalanche is what we're looking for.
Sorry.
Did she say what I thought she said?
She did.
Okay.
All right.
Nice of her. She's an elementary school teacher. Yeah. That was good.
She sure did.
All right. Let's go to Robert in Santa Fe Springs. Hi there.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, Robert. Here's your question. This is the name of the Colorado State Flower, but it's probably better known as the name of the high school site of a horrific mass shooting on April 20th, 1999.
That'd be the Columbine Flower?
The Columbine Flower. You're right. Absolutely.
Nicely done.
Can you believe Columbine was 1999?
Yes. Wow. No, that's crazy.
Over 16 years
but,
ago.
But that was the last mass shooting, though,
yep,
so that's good news.
That's
great. Put that problem behind us.
Yep.
All right, we got time for one more, you guys.
All right, let's go to Rob in Manatee. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good.
Hey, Rob. Colorado is the home of this company, which was the best-known U.S. company in the business of telegrams until it discontinued that service in 2006, but the company still exists. Who was the number one U.S. deliverer of telegrams?
Telegrams?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, I still only communicate with telegrams.
Sure. Pony Express, Morse code, and telegrams.
Oh, is it Western Union?
Western Union is absolutely right.
Hey!
Well done,
I love
sir.
Kevin and Bean.
Well, you came up with it, man. You get all the credit. Congratulations. Robert, you're in the drawing, as is Jesse, Adam, Jason. Somebody is going for a great weekend at Crested Butte, Colorado, a ski resort there in the mountains, courtesy of Alaska Airlines, with your airfare, lodging for 3 nights, lift tickets, and ski rentals. But only one can win. LMK, who's that going to be today?
The winner is Adam.
The winner is Adam.
Adam!
Congratulations, Adam.
Thank you.
Enjoy your ski
not
trip.
Me, this is America.
This is Colorado, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Motley Crue is done, you guys. I think it's kind of neat that they all came together as a group about a year and a half ago and signed a blood oath that said, all right, we're going to do this final tour, but after that, we're never getting back together again. So it's never going to be one of these, ooh, I wonder if they'll ever reform for Coachella. They're done forever, they promise.
Right. And we've heard that before.
I don't think we have. I think this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this where the guys signed a contract saying they would not go past a certain date. I've never seen a band do that before.
In blood, Kevin.
In blood, man.
In blood, yeah.
Motley Crue, one of the most successful rock bands ever to come out of Southern California. Here's a clip of one of their most popular songs, if you don't recognize the name.
Girls, 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 long legs and burgundy lips. Girls, 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 dancing down on the Sunset Strip. Girls, girls, girls.
That's Alex Trebek.
I don't think so. I think that's Vince Neil singing for Motley Crue. So the tour is over now. The final show ever was New Year's Eve at Los Angeles Staples Center, and it really kind of made international news because it's something that happened. Kevin, you've got some tape. You want to set up what we're going to hear here?
Yeah, Tommy Lee, his entire drum set is sort of turns upside down and goes over the crowd just a little bit.
It's like a roller coaster.
It's not a roller coaster, and it just goes out. It comes back. It's just a stunt that everybody loves. It got stuck upside down. He was stuck upside down. In the middle of the show, it wouldn't go forward, and it wouldn't go back. And this is the clip.
It got stuck.
What the f***? What the f***, Los Angeles? Can I get a hell yeah? Oh, yes. You guys look crazy upside down, by the way. It looks like the roller coaster's broken.
So Tommy Lee is not a guy you just want to give a mic to and tell him to just ramp for 5 minutes.
I don't know. I think in a crew show?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to find out what that was like for the great Tommy Lee, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tommy.
Yeah, that was a good clip, man. Ripping.
Right.
Rocking and rolling.
Went on for a long time with lots of unintelligible dialogue and then curse words.
Yeah. Really good audio, too.
It was.
Yeah.
High quality, yeah.
I wondered about our decision to play quite so much of it myself, Tommy. But that's not why you're here. You're here to tell us, what was it like for you to get stuck upside down at your final show?
Oh, man. It was bananas. It was like, ripping, rocking, you know, drumming. On a roller coaster of love and rock and diesel fuel turbo jet ripping.
Right.
Next thing I know, I'm upside down, dangling. Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah.
So, yeah. So,
sounded like there was more. Sorry.
Is it good or is it bad that this show was being filmed for posterity and now will be released as a home DVD and Blu-ray? So now forever, the vision that your fans have of you on that drum set at the roller coaster is you upside down.
Yeah. Whatever, bro. I mean, because I was at a party on a VIP list, and that party's called Rock and Roll, and I was ripping and shredding, and the blood was going to my head, and I said, boobs, man.
Right?
Yep.
That happened, right? But that's not what he asked. Are you happy that that was the show they were filming for the DVD?
Hey, you know, it's like Forrest Whitaker said, man, life is like a box of chocolates. So, milk lemonade.
That was Forrest Gump.
It was Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, broad.
No problem.
Rock and roll. Hey, what are your boobs like?
That's not what you're here
they're
for,
They're not
Tommy.
Great. Yeah.
Put them on the glass. Girls, girls, girls. All right. Yeah.
All right. So, Tommy, what about this blood oath that the band members all signed promising each other and the world you would never perform again after last New Year's Eve? Do you think that that is in stone and we've seen the final Motley Crue show?
Oh, for sure, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely told, you know, tales out of school before in, like, books and stuff. But when Vince and Mick and Nikki and I make a bond with blood, we totally never give away secrets. Like that one time we buried the hookers in the desert outside of Vegas. We promised to never tell anybody about that.
You just said that out loud.
You said that on the radio.
About the hookers
you guys buried a hooker?
Rock and roll.
What are you going to do, Tommy? You're kind of retired now. You have no job. What's next for Tommy Lee?
I think I'm going to teach.
You know, teach what?
English literature at Yale.
At Yale? Wow.
Just thinking about that. You know, maybe
right.
Go back to Oxford. Just kind of.
Did you say go
around.
Back? Did you say go back to Oxford?
Yeah.
Oh, you drove by there once, did you?
We were on tour in London. I was like, hey, check this out, man. A bunch of smart people. Funny accent. Yeah, look at the top of the morning.
What's your favorite book, Tommy Lee?
My favorite book?
Yeah.
Good Night Moon.
Yeah.
Good Night Moon.
So English lit.
I mean, it's
at
like
Yale.
Crazy because, okay. You know, the kid's like looking around, like, good night, lamp. Good night, oatmeal. And I'm like thinking about it. I was like, man, sometimes when the sun goes down, the party doesn't go on anymore and you got to say good night. You know, it's just like life. You know, sometimes it gives you lemons. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Really tied that all up right there.
Go for it.
Excellent takeaway. Well, congratulations on a great career with Motley Crue.
Carpe diem. Rock and roll. Yeah.
And to you as well. She is Six Horse Judy in Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight. Actress Zoe Bell joins us just after 9 o'clock this morning. I love Zoe, by the way. We've been lucky enough to have her on a couple times in the past. It's always fun to catch up with her. And it's amazing making that transition from stuntwoman to actor. You don't see that very often, do you?
Yeah, true.
She's good, though. All right, very excited about this, not just because we have our first Internet Roundup of the new year. And hi, Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer. How are you?
Hey, man, how's it going?
But we're about to debut a new theme song for 2016, which is always fun. So let's hear that.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Awesome. And very timely, Omar.
Daddy likes
it. Yeah, I like it too.
Nope.
All right, well, we got a new batch of Roundup videos for you. There have been so many good ones over the past couple of weeks while we were off, and a bunch of them are Star Wars related. I love this one, Kevin, and I think you will too. This is a heavy metal band called the Galactic Empire. That's what they're calling themselves for this. And when you hear what song they're doing for you here, you'll know why they chose that name. If you ever wanted to see stormtroopers headbanging, then this is the video for you. It's pretty good. Dave, tell us about all the bad lip reading videos that you put
these up. Are so great. They did Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and The Return of the Jedi. And I believe the clip we have is the very first time that Darth Vader meets Princess Leia.
And this is weird because you're watching the actual scene, but they're changing the words up, and it really does look like that's what they're saying.
Perfectly.
It's ridiculous.
There she is. Ready to hit the cantina?
No, and I really hate you texting me all those helmet pics.
Oh, well, give me your email. I'll send you some of the high-res versions.
Dude, I don't want your dirty email.
Okay, I don't remember that scene from the movie. That's the point.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that was Jack Black and Maya Rudolph.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right, so you can see bad lip reading videos for all three of the original Star Wars movies. Kylo Ren, if you've seen the new Star Wars The Force Awakens, you know that he is an enthusiastic young man.
Sure.
He tends to get awfully excited about a lot of things that happen. But granted, he's having a pretty extraordinary day in the Star Wars movie. Well, this is a parody of that, of the Star Wars Force Awakens, of Kylo Ren, who just freaks out in everyday situations, like when he gets this news about his favorite podcast.
Oh, cool. My favorite podcast is up.
Cereal is now sponsored by Space DraftKings. Did you know that Space DraftKings is the only
place? Can't listen to just one podcast without you, Space DraftKings. It's just a legalized gambling website.
And he just goes through his whole day just freaking out over everything. And probably sweating a lot, too.
Sure.
All right. This happened over the break, Kevin. Please tell me you saw the CNN anchor Poppy Harlow pass out on the air.
I did not.
Oh, this is so good. Now, unfortunately, her face is not on camera at the time, so you don't actually get to see it. But she is having a conversation with somebody else who's on screen, and you just hear her voice just fade out, and she's out. And then
we've experienced this like 100 times with you, though, Bean, so we all know what it's like.
You know what it's like. And then you'll hear a few seconds of nothing, and then she comes back. They went right to a commercial, then she comes back after a commercial to reveal to the viewers that she's fine.
Hi, we have this new CNN ORC poll, which is quite a turnaround. I got a little hot and I passed out for a moment. I am fine.
Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that almost, I mean, it's dangerously close to heavy hypertension.
I'm going to put that at the end of every one of my moments. I got a little hot and I passed out, but I'm fine.
I'm fine. There were a lot of great compilation videos at the end of 2015. We weren't on to share them with you, but this one is one of my favorites because you know I love the weather. This is the best weather TV bloopers of 2015.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too. Did I say that near the horizon? I'm going to stick with weather.
Couple of issues on the go this morning as we take... Okay, this is my phone, not my clicker.
He goes up there to try to move stuff
that's
on the blue screen.
Not going to change the map.
This is a really funny video, though. And by the way, some of these South American weather girls that are working on TV.
Yeah.
I mean...
Right?
I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, Happy New Year, everybody, from our favorite Nova Scotian weathercaster, Frankie McDonald.
I will wish everybody a Happy New Year, and I will do a great job in my weather reports, and I will do my weather reports, my dance videos, and my comedy show all through year 2016. Happy New Year, everybody. Have a great 2016. Thank you. Have a nice day.
If you love Frankie like we do, you can't get enough of that young man. You'll love his Happy New Year video. I've been watching football my whole life, and I have to be honest when I tell you that I am still a little bit confused about some of the rules. I'll see a play, and unless it's explained to me, I don't understand a ruling on the field sometimes. All right? And that's a guy who's been a fan of football his whole life. Imagine what it's like if you're watching American football for the first time ever and you're Irish. So all you know is soccer. Now you're trying to figure out football. That's what these guys are doing.
It looks like a touchdown, but he didn't touch it down. Yeah, he just caught it and put his hand up.
The last line. Oh. Here we go.
Oh, is that it? Is that the
touchdown? That's it. That's a smackdown.
That guy, number six, is the saddest man I've ever seen playing professional sport. Cheer up, number six.
They were talking about Jay Cutler. Yeah. It was from Thanksgiving game.
They're not wrong.
Yeah. The funniest part was their fascination with the tight pants.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, oh, we can see everything.
It's a really funny video. You can check that out. This is great. And I don't know how they made a decision to not air this the week that this was cut for Saturday Night Live. But they do that. They usually have one or two sketches every week that don't make the air. They get cut for time, and this was one of them. This is Kyle Mooney. He's one of the regulars on the show who does this character that he goes out and interviews people on the streets of New York. And in this time, this was the Justin Bieber concert that he was doing on the Today Show, I think. So he's interviewing crazy Bieber fans, and it's very funny.
You must be one of the biggest fans.
No, my kids are the biggest fans, because I said, Dad, can you get a photo of you on stage? So I said, I'll try.
So you just absolutely, you came all the way because you love him so much.
Yeah.
You're the biggest fan?
Yeah.
He basically just doesn't hear anything anybody ever said. I love this video, too, because this is so true, especially after the holidays. Everyone at work today, wherever you are, whoever you are, is going to at some point complain about how tired they are, about how tough it is coming back after a break. And this is what you sound like when you talk about how tired you are.
I got negative 13 days sleep last night.
How is that even possible?
Well, you know I have a newborn, right?
Yeah, babies.
I just can't get him to go down. And I'd already not slept for 3 days because of him. On top of that, accidentally wronged this dark wizard who stole 10 days of my life by hurling me down this time tunnel. So I'm watching from the fifth dimension my earthbound form stay awake for days on end. I mean, it was an otherworldly sort of torture, you know?
Every single person who comes into that kitchen, by the way, tries to up the next person, the person before them, story about how tired they are, and it's great. Jerry Seinfeld has had an amazing web series over the past couple of years called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and he usually will sit down with a Larry David or David Letterman or somebody like that, but he got a very special guest for this one, President Obama. Seinfeld goes to the White House and has coffee with President Obama, and in this clip, you'll hear the president showing Jerry one of the presidential motorcade cars.
This is called the Beast. It's a caddy, basically on a tank frame.
Oh my God.
Yeah, see? So I could call a nuclear submarine right here from this. I mean, you don't have that. I don't have that. Yeah, it's a cool feature, plus seat warmers. So between the nuclear submarine thing
that.
And the...
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? That's standard?
That's pretty there. Standard everywhere now, yeah.
Kevin, you know how you have a theory that some presidents in their final year just don't give an F? They're just having fun.
I wish I could get a printout of every single president, what they did in the last year when they're not running for re-election. I can't imagine they're doing anything.
Just killing time.
Yep.
Well, the president is having a great time with Jerry Seinfeld.
I do love that jazz music, too. That's swinging a little bit.
That's on all the episodes of the show. But the president, I mean, he's so relaxed and just walking around the White House with Jerry. Like, he's got nothing else to do. It's actually pretty funny. And finally, if you're struggling with your New Year's resolutions this year, and who isn't the first week of January, HBO's John Oliver's got some good advice for you.
So instead of beating yourself up because you haven't gone to the gym yet, simply lower your standards for what counts as exercise to anything that brings your heart rate up. That way, instead of jogging, simply try waking up late for work or taking a pregnancy test. That way, you haven't failed to keep your New Year's resolution. You've just succeeded in a different way.
I like it.
How many times over the years have we said on the Kevin and Bean Show, lower your standards is the key to success in life, right? You can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. That's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Ow! 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Ralph is here. It is time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. And then actress Zoe Bell joins us just after 9. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. I'm of two minds.
Okay.
I'm crestfallen.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
Well, you know, I have two stories that just broke this morning, and one is joyous, and the other one is just heartbreaking. I mean, it's just devastating. Turns out that Ben on The Bachelor made out with one of the other contestants, and they didn't show it on the show.
Which one is that? Which story is that?
Is that joyous or heartbreaking?
If I can't trust The Bachelor,
right.
What can I trust?
Because that's supposed to be unfiltered reality, that show.
I'm on a journey, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm there for all the right reasons.
Is it positive he's not there for the right reasons?
I'm on a journey to find love, and first of all, it's raining Ben, right?
It's raining Ben.
And if I can't go along with him on his journey and partake in everything he partakes in, how can I become fully invested?
So you were slighted by them not showing up.
Okay. You're damn right I was slighted. Even more so by whom it was.
Uh-oh.
Who it was?
Oh, no.
Remember Mandy, the crazy dentist who gave him a full exam on their first date together?
Right.
Laid him back and put a paper bib on him and got out her mirror and her pick and started working through his teeth?
Mm-hmm. She wanted to have a serious first date conversation with him about plaque.
Right. And after the exam, apparently they made out right there with him wearing his bib and everything.
Teeth are all fresh.
Right. She checked out his teeth, said, all right, you're good to go, Mac.
And they didn't show that.
Not
and you're
shown.
Outraged.
I'm outraged. Well, I need this kind of information, Kevin, if I'm going to really go on this journey.
It sounds like 2 hours is not long enough for
That's
an episode of
I'm
The Bachelor.
Saying. We need like a 4-hour version. We need a director's cut. I got to get Harris.
You enjoy
on the
that.
Phone. I got to get Harris on the phone and work this out because it's devastating. It's troubling to me.
Dave, we need tiny hands for next week.
Stop saying that. Look, I won't have it.
His hands are not large.
His hands are fine. They're normal human
baby.
Size.
They're
no, they're not baby,
baby
size.
They are
they're
fine.
Just. Don't let Petros poison you with this smear campaign. His hands are perfectly normal human size
for a baby.
For a regular man.
That's
Look, I never. It didn't bother me before Petros brought it out, but much like the vein in Julie Roberts' forehead, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. And
didn't
he has.
It doesn't exist.
He has mosquito hands,
and
you know it.
His hands are fine. And I listen to me. This is not okay.
All right. So what's the joyous news?
It happened today.
What?
Star Wars: The Force Awakens became the number one film of all time in North America.
Yay!
Well, it's had long enough, right?
Blockbuster achieved this historic milestone in 20 days.
Wow.
Made more money than any movie ever has in the history of North American cinema.
Wow.
Now, it's a long way from matching the $2.8 billion earned by Avatar, but it is well on its way. And
but it beat Avatar in North America.
Okay. Domestically, it is the number one film. Of all time.
What other movies
America.
Do you think
Not
it might have
for
beat
inflation.
Here? Any others? Kevin?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were setting Bean up to play my
no.
clips. No. I got nothing. Back to you.
Never mind.
I think Ali's point was Ralph had mentioned that it was
beat
the most successful.
Everything.
No, I know. Yeah. I understand that. But I'm saying
he
it hasn't
just clarifying,
been...
Yes.
Okay.
It was. Kevin likes things to be concise
Thank
and
you,
clear.
Ralph.
Apologies.
Thank you.
Well Apologies. Presented in a professional...
Thank you.
And crystal clear manner.
Very that, organized.
That's all he cares about is getting his point across in a way that is simple.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ralph.
To the point and crystal clear.
See, Ralph gets me.
I'm
Ralph, was Star Wars sorry. Bigger than Bridget Jones's Diary here in America?
Sadly, no. No.
Yeah. That's a shame.
BJD just has just a hair on top of it, so sad news. That's exciting, though, right?
Yeah.
Sure. It's remarkable.
It is remarkable.
I mean, it really is. 20 days to make more movie than any other movie ever in North America. It's crazy.
It
crazy
is.
Times.
It's they're contributing it not only to the quality of the film and its pedigree and the fact everyone loves Star Wars, but the repeated viewings apparently have just been through the roof. People going again and again and again and again.
I don't feel
Kevin, it. You've seen it twice, right?
I have, yeah. And I don't feel, I'll see it again.
Saw it four times.
Saw it four times.
Yeah. All right.
You've saw it four times?
Maybe. Yes, I have.
You really saw it four times?
Well, I saw it in 3D, then I wanted to see it in the
2D,
dome.
The
and
2D,
then,
you saw dome D, then you saw...
And then I saw just regular twice. And I'll see it again.
Four
I don't
times.
Like the judging in your face.
I'm not judging, it's just that's crazy.
This is why you fail.
Right, Mini
I'm not
Yoda.
Judging you, I'm just saying you're insane, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's fine.
That's fine.
And if you're a big fan of Motorhead, and who isn't really... There will be a memorial service this weekend for Lemmy, and you can be there. Motorhead is hosting the service at the Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Hollywood on Sunday, 3 p.m. our time. And you have been invited to attend virtually through live stream.
Hmm.
If you go to the official Motorhead YouTube channel, you can watch the ceremony streamed live on the internet.
That should be quite an amazing show.
So Lemmy, of course, passed away last week at the age of 70, and they want their fans to partake in the ceremony, so you'll be able a chance to tune
never
in.
Never heard
if
of this,
so
have you guys?
Inclined. I've never heard of a live-streamed funeral before. But
he was a great human right. being. Right. Everybody loved him.
Yes, I should have known.
He was the ruler of the world.
He wasn't the ruler of the world.
Well,
I believe
some
he
people,
was
maybe.
The bassist for Motorhead, I believe is who.
He's a fighter, and he's a winner.
He was a winner. He was the founder, bassist, and frontman for Motorhead, but not the ruler of the world.
It's cold outside.
It is cold outside.
Thank you, Rodney.
And it's starting to rain, too. Don't get me started on the rain. I had a rain accident yesterday.
Oh, no.
You ever have a rain accident?
I don't know what that means exactly. Did you get in a car accident because of rain?
No. It sounded bad.
Well, the car accident. I got an accident with the rain. The rain and I had a collision.
No.
I collided with the rain.
Meaning you got wet. Please explain.
I don't have time. It's after 9 o'clock.
All right, next hour.
Don't have time for my rain accident.
Are you suing?
I am suing. I'm currently.
The rain?
I'm suing the rain. I'm suing
so
God.
You're going to blame it on the rain?
Damn it.
So now you can't stand the rain?
Stop it!
Boy, that just brought the whole conversation to a stop, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, we got a guest, Ralph. Let's wrap this up.
I'm Ralph Garman.
We're revolting. Every time we have our next guest in, I realize I've accomplished nothing in my life. She is a gymnast, a martial artist, a stunt woman, one of the best ever in the game, and an actress as well. You can currently see her on the big screen, 70mm, please, in The Hateful Eight with her friend Quentin Tarantino doing the movie. Zoe Bell joins us back on camera. Hey, Zoe.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, my dear?
I'm good. I'm a little snuffly today, actually. I think it's, you know, it rains in L.A. and suddenly we all get colds and car crashes.
But everything's out of whack.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, colds and cockroaches?
Car crashes.
Okay.
Oh, car crashes.
It's my accent.
I love the accent. So, Zoe, wow, where do we catch up? We had you last in for Raise, that movie where you and Rachel Nichols just fought each other for 2 hours.
Yep.
And now you are back what looks like, based on all the stuff that I've seen you do in the past, this looks like it should have been an easier role for you than most.
It was.
You're not cracking any heads this time around.
No, it was certainly a more pleasant role for me to play. It was easier in the sense that I got to access the sort of the bubbly, chirpy, bouncy side of myself, which is sort of less exhausting for me. But I did have to learn how to drive a 6-horse team, which I have to say is one of the most challenging sort of skills I've had to acquire in my career.
Yeah, I'm thinking nobody knows how to do that.
Very few people, and I think that was sort of the point. I mean, there's, you know,
as an idiot, it looks pretty easy.
I know.
It looks like you just go, ha!
Yeah, and just kind of whack the reins around and the horses will know where they're going. No, it's really, it's sort of, the one thing I can explain that makes you kind of understand the technicality of it is you can't just turn them all at the same time.
Okay.
Because otherwise, you know, you cut a corner. So you've got to turn the top front two and keep the back four going straight. And then turn the front four and keep the back two.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's
it's
I've
like
got
math
two.
And animals.
I've got,
can't.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I need to hear more about that. So you're, unfortunately, I haven't seen the movie yet, so I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
You need to.
I will.
70mm if you can. It's
and I
amazing.
Will because, I mean, as we talked about earlier today, Quentin is just, I mean, he's a genius and one of a kind and his own voice and all of his movies are essential. So I'm psyched to see it. But you're driving a stagecoach.
Mm-hmm.
How do you communicate to the front horses without the horses behind that horse reacting to it?
I tell you, it's difficult.
It sounds like it.
It's not often I'm lost for words, so this is how complicated it is. There's the front two line, the top two lines in your hands go to the front two horses, the bottom to the middle lines. Reins go to the middle horses and the bottom lines go to the back horses.
Ah,
so it's sort of
separate direct lines.
Yeah, and you basically what they call sucking the lines up. So you pull them through your hands so that they're tighter on the ones that you want to communicate with or the ones that you want to hold back and let the other
Who
ones
knew
go.
There was that much to this?
No, it's like guitar
I didn't.
Playing.
Wow. I did reins. Not know that in October
It
last
is
year.
Like guitar playing with reins.
Well, because your fingers have to know. How dare you? In my head, that made perfect sense.
Musical horses.
Yes,
I get it.
That's
I get
what
it.
had you any experience at all with horses?
I mean, you know, I've been falling off them and flipping onto them most of the time in my career on Xena and stuff. But and I'd grown up riding them. I think it's kind of part of the island life that I was raised in. But I certainly wasn't a horse person. And I remember when we've gotten the smallest cart at the very beginning with one horse. And I was like, holy crap, I'm not entirely sure who's coming out the worst the scene. And so then we moved to two horses and then four horses and then six horses and then six horses in the snow. And it was
at any point did you go, hey, everybody, just give me a second?
Oh, yeah. Quite frequently. Like about every 2 minutes when we first started doing it in the snow, I was like, guys, someone needs to take these reins because I can't move my fingers and these wow. horses don't speak English. So
Wait, the horses don't speak English?
And you know what? I don't speak horse. It was a horrible situation.
Does the snow add a level of difficulty to doing your job, Zoe?
Yeah, it did with the driving of the stagecoach. It did because it just made everything sort of I mean, in some ways, it kind of helped me out because once you get the horses up to speed, it's not quite as terrifying because there's something always slowing them down a little bit. Like with no snow, once those things are going, they don't call it horsepower for nothing. You know, it's like
that's
when it gets terrifying because once they're all loving it. They're like, woohoo! And you're like, but we need you to be going in the same direction. Otherwise, people and horses might die. So the snow was helping. But going uphill, it's really hard to get them going because they're like, screw you, I'm going to walk.
Yeah. Hey, this is uphill. Right. You go uphill.
Yeah. You get out and pull.
Hey, I'm not a bitch. You're a bitch. So you're shooting. You're outdoors. You're in the mountains of Colorado. Is that where this is happening?
Telluride. Stunning place.
And how cold is it?
Well, I kind of got lucky, you see, because my part, without giving away too much, is sort of in a chapter where it's sort of pre-storm. So every time I was shooting, it was sort of bluebird, sunny and gorgeous. And so as long as you weren't in the shade and the wind wasn't blowing, it was actually warm.
So let's talk about the chapters, because that was something that's unique that is not in most movies. Tell us about that and his decision to do that.
I don't know what his decision to do it was. I mean, it's quite, you know, it's sort of similar to in Kill Bill where there's the checklist and he's done chapters in other movies and it's sort of I don't know if it's just somehow that the way the story forms in his mind that he has these segments that sort of fill out. And the names of chapters end up being really important. And I don't want to say too much without giving it away, but it compartmentalizes stories and characters and relationships, it seems to be. And that's just my opinion. I'll ask him and get back to you.
What about the intermission? That's not a normal thing.
Intermission is so much fun. I remember from when I was a kid, there's just that. I mean, the difference is most of these places aren't set up to deal with it. So there isn't like the candy store that's still open because you've got 12 minutes. But it does give you a chance to pee, which in a 3-hour movie is
that's nice.
Essential.
You're grateful at that point. Yeah. But it's also, you know, with the overture and that's in the 70mm roadshow version of it. And the intermission
which
is
the beginning, right?
Yeah.
For 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of the overall soundtrack of it all mushed into one. And
has
it just
he gone crazy?
I think he's just always been crazy. But it's like, I don't think he's just recently gone crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That's
but it's like
point.
The best kind of crazy. It's sort of, it's the kind of crazy that breaks rules and sets his own set of rules. And it just, you know, and he's just good enough at it that it's not, it doesn't leave you going, well, he broke that rule.
And I think this, more so than movies in the past of his, this lets him be him to the hilt. Because an overture. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You're listening to a 5-minute swelling music
it's
and the movie hasn't
too.
Even started. That's amazing.
It was funny. Yeah. I go to the Arclight and they explain stuff ahead of time for dummies like me. They go, okay, there's going to be a thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's supposed to go on for about 5 minutes.
Not the movie.
There is an intermission
and
you have 12 minutes, but I guess it's part of the film or whatever. It'll just come right back whether you're here
you
or not.
You need to come back.
So make sure you're back. It was just a weird experience.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it.
It's fun when somebody has that strong of a voice.
Yeah.
I like that.
And he really does. He sort of created his own.
What is he like as a director? Does he talk a lot?
If he's awake, he's talking a lot.
I know. Come on. That's my point. Like,
we've had him on a bunch. You know that.
We've had him in before. I seriously feel like we would talk to him for 5 hours and just be getting started.
Oh,
just
yeah. The way no, absolutely. But when, you know, it's funny when he's a director, he, I mean, yes, in between takes when there's room to speak and he's got something to say, he'll talk and he's down with everybody else who's like that, which is very lucky for me because I'm not dissimilar. But, you know, when he's directing, it really is all about getting the shot or it's about getting the shot to get the vision, to get the movie. So it's if someone needs time, he'll give them time. If someone needs space, he'll give them space. And when he needs people to be a bit more quiet, to, you know, he's super professional and he's not sort of structured professional. It's like he does this, he's got his own set of rules for how everything works. And, you know, he does have a rule about no phones on set, which I think is great because you're not going to ruin any shots with the ringing of a phone, which when you're dealing with film is kind of slightly more important than digital. But also I think what it does is it means that everybody who's on set is present to what's happening on set because you don't really have a choice. You can't get lost in your phone. You can't get lost in your babysitter or your you know, your other business that you're running or your mistress that you've left at home.
What? Who was that? Was that Samuel? Or, no. I mean, no. Totally kidding.
I was talking about mine. But then, my babies and my mistress. I don't know.
Posting on Instagram. Hey, working with Quentin Tarantino.
Well, exactly. So it just means everyone's focused in on the same thing, and I think that makes a big difference.
You've been in so many of his movies over the years, either credited or not. How many? The Kill Bill movies, Django Unchained you were in,
The Last...
Glorious Bastards you were in,
yep.
Death Proof, right?
Yep, everything since Kill Bill, yeah.
So is it is it a lot of the same people coming back? Does it seem like it's a family reunion when you guys get together and make another movie?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of sort of orbiting family members that sort of, you know, if they're not there, it's because they're working on something else or, you know. When I did Django, I was only there for a couple of weeks because my role was tiny and I was doing Oblivion and bouncing around between the two. Highly stressful. I don't think I'll ever do that again. I remember turning up on set and I was really stressed out because I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it and I didn't want to screw them around. And I turned up on set and I saw Mark Ulano, the sound guy, and I saw Simi, the lighting girl, and I just was like...
Oh. So it's all the home. Same people. All the same people. It was just
Chewy. We're home.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it felt like. It was. It's just a warm place to be, you know.
All right, we got to take a very quick break. Actress Zoe Bell in studio with us right now. You can see her on screen right now in The Hateful Eight, which looks fantastic. It's doing big box office, getting great reviews, and we have many more questions for Zoe when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend actress Zoe Bell in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Currently can be seen in The Hateful Eight, one of the world's greatest stunt performers in movie history, but that is all behind you now, Zoe. No more of the crazy stunts, correct?
Well, I'll be doing my own stunts, hopefully, from here on in.
No more doubling then for somebody else.
Yes. I mean, you know, for certain favors I might, but no.
Was that obviously that's a gradual transition because you've kind of been doing both for a while, but was that a tough point to get to, or was it something that you said, yeah, it's time?
Everything you said sort of somehow is a yes. It was sort of, I was doing both. And then I reached a point where I felt like I needed to make a conscious decision to turn down doubling jobs and really dedicate myself to only acting. And I thought it was so that I could sort of move the world to identify me as an actor as opposed to a stunt woman who does her own dialogue.
Right.
And within about 2 or 3 years, I realized that in fact, the bigger challenge was me re-identifying myself as an actor versus a stunt woman. Because, you know, a stunt woman's like an actor, an athlete and a jock. That was me anyway. And as an actor, I'm a creative and far more sort of emotionally vulnerable and on show. And that was a massive shift for me. And it was a conscious decision one day I made.
And then over what amount of time did it take you to sort of realize what you are doing?
Probably 2 years. And I mean, even then someone asked me a question, a friend of mine that's an actress asked me a question about this audition I was doing. And I answered in some way and she was like, oh, my little stunt girl's grown up. She's an actor. Now it was one of those moments where I started to refer to myself as an actor subconsciously without realizing it. And that was the kind of like, oh, okay.
I mean, it must have been weird. I mean, even for filming this movie to show up on the set like you have so many times before and have a different job. I mean, it's just like you said, it's a different mindset that you have to get into.
Yeah. I mean, I had someone doubling me on this show.
I hope you were a dick to him.
Yeah. I was like, I want you to do all the cold, hard, nasty stuff. There's a puddle of blood. You go lie in it.
You put in your time.
Yeah, exactly. No, her name is Tracy Dashnall, and she was my driving double because, you know, there are moments where they were like, this is sketchy. And it's horrible, but it's, you know, if something happens to you as a production, we're kind of screwed. So this person is more. And I love how offended I am by that as an actor. But
now,
I was that person all the time. You know? And Tracy Dashnall was actually the woman who was driving the car in Death Proof. So she was my lifeline in Death Proof.
Wow.
And now she was doubling me in this movie. It was pretty. I was like, I was honored to have her as my stunt double, I have to be honest.
Did you want that? I would have done that differently, but okay. You have to make your own choices.
If you're going to hear like that, that's fine.
So, did you ever compete in martial arts in terms of championships and things like that?
I never did with martial arts. I did with gymnastics, and then I started doing taekwondo when I was, I think, about 16. and then Xena came along about a year and a half into that. So I'd kind of got my blue belt. I think I was going for my red belt. And sort of. So I'd done some tournaments, but...
Do you think if you were 16 years old now, you would be... eyeing a UFC career.
Turkey of boobs? Yes.
Wait, I'm sorry, what? He didn't ask you about boobs at all.
Oh,
for once, in his life.
I was getting ahead of you.
Wow. Okay.
I was wondering if young Zoe Bell were, you know, 14, 15, 16 right now, would you be attracted to the UFC? Is that something you would think about as a career?
This is going to be disappointing to a lot of people, and I disappoint people all the time with this answer, but I'm just not a fighter. I don't like hurting people. I'm used to getting hurt because that's part of my job for so long, and if it's part of the game, then I don't mind it.
But you'd be so good at it.
I know, and who knows, maybe if that had come along first, then that would have been what I would have fixated on, and usually if I find that I'm quite good at something, if I dedicate time to it, then it's easier for me to dedicate
time. I don't know. I think fighters have a mental mindset that
and
is
I just don't think I have
it's
it.
Something most people don't have. Some of them, when they're getting beaten up, they seem to even like that more. What's your damage? What's wrong with you?
Who hurt you?
How are you liking this?
I mean, I get that there's a technical challenge to it.
Very much so,
appeals to me. And like, so I love fight training. I love fight training. But I don't have... Or maybe I do, and I just don't want to access it. The sea red flip, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's not appealing to me. And I was the girl that I'd be in a ring, and I'd be like, "Pop, pop, sorry, pop, pop, sorry." My coach's like, "Can you please just don't? You are not allowed to say sorry ever." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know. My mum was Catholic. I can't not say sorry."
What's up next for you, film wise, after Hateful Eight?
I've got a couple of projects that are sort of in development.
That's a very actressy thing to say.
I like it.
A couple in development.
I like it. Go with it.
One is with a dear friend of mine, Dante Harper, who I'm super excited about, which is sort of under wraps but based loosely on an experience that I had in the last couple of years whilst travelling through Bali. And then another project that's I can't really say too much about, so also very Hollywood. And then coming out, I have a movie called Camino.
Okay, what's that?
It's with the director of Raised, Josh Waller, and I are back together. And it's basically I play a photojournalist who's on assignment in Colombia, casing this freedom fighter, this extravagant sort of character and his merry men and women. And Avery, my character, snaps a photo when she shouldn't have.
And that does or does not make him happy?
It makes him very, very unhappy.
Because he wants to buy a print, right?
Yeah. He's like, come back here. I want a signed print of that.
What filter are you going
to
use?
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to know.
Is that my good side?
Can I put that on my Instagram, too? He wants to know.
Well, it results in me not allowing him to put it on his Instagram. Results in him and his peeps chasing me wildly through the forest and lots of action and
a lot of running in that movie.
Lots of running and jumping over trees.
Would you like at some point to have a role where you're just wearing a pretty dress and you're out at a bar just chatting up a guy?
I love the idea of a romantic comedy. Is that ridiculous? I love the idea of like funny and like, yeah, I like the idea of being funny. And I can wear a dress, no problem. I can do that.
Of course you can. All right. The movie is out now. It is called The Hateful Eight, and you should see it. Zoe Bell, can't wait to see you in this. It's always great to catch up and hear your delightful accent. Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:37.
Ralph is here with one more look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. That Zoe Bell was a lot of fun, right?
She's just adorable.
Love her.
Yeah. It's nice to meet a girl, too, that could kill you but chooses not to.
Yes, I appreciated that as well.
I like that in a woman.
And by the way, I made fun of Hateful Eight for being long because it is 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, Kevin was high.
But the truth is that it does take a different pace than you're used to because everything else seems to be moving so fast. And it slows down and takes its time, and it totally is worth it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Finally, when you realize, okay, this is the pace. And then it ends up being really great. It's still long, don't get me wrong. But it's worth it. What are you talking about? I'm saying worth it.
By the way, don't be scared off by Kevin. It's 2 hours and 48 minutes.
So hard.
Okay.
Here's an idea. Maybe don't get baked before a slow-paced
film.
Why
do you keep slinging these arrows at me, Ralph?
First of all,
I don't know.
You don't sling arrows.
Okay, well,
okay.
It's odd that you're doing
it. There are the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Saith the bard, but you don't sling arrows.
Well said, Kevin.
You know what I mean.
Translate that into Spanish for me. Yo quiero sling arrows mucho avec
Merci beaucoup.
How dare you?
Just mixing languages, getting nuts. So people are asking me, what was my rain accident?
Yeah,
oh,
yes.
Before I get to show business.
Yeah, we want to know.
First of all, it's raining outside again.
Right.
I don't know if you're aware of that or not. So,
oh, my God, it's raining!
Drive carefully is what my advice would be.
Okay.
But first of all, my advice would be, bring back the drought. I enjoyed the drought.
I'm not positive how people can do that.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed traveling in it.
Uh-huh.
It was easy for me to get around the city. I enjoyed the drought conditions. So I'm pro-drought.
Boy, God, this weather, I swear. Drive carefully, and when you go through those puddles, pump your brakes a little after you go out of the puddle.
Yeah.
Kind of keep them together.
You have to keep them together.
Speaking of your brakes, keeping them together.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters? And it's wintertime. So anyways.
It's not Christmas. It's not sweaters. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I didn't get in a car accident. I got into a rain accident.
Okay, what does that mean?
Very different. It's car versus water.
Okay.
Okay.
And... Speaking of...
You hit a puddle of water and then something else.
No. I didn't hit a puddle of water.
Okay. You hit the ocean.
I hit a lake.
A lake?
Wow.
I hit a lake.
Okay.
Well, turns out the streets in the San Fernando Valley section of Los Angeles County are not necessarily graded and equipped and designated and designed to be efficient in the running off of rainwater.
I would say they're the opposite of that, in that, that they form lakes
man-made
on purpose.
Lakes. Yes.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you have a house right off of Lake Ventura, which you didn't know existed before. So yesterday, in the worst, in the downpour, in the deluge, in the heat, wouldn't be the heat at all.
The eye of the storm.
No, that'd be the calm part. It was the worst part of the storm. It was the part where it was really just peeing down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As they say in England. I was driving at a reasonable clip, and I was coming along, and I was coming up on what seemed to be just a shallow puddle.
Right.
On the surface, all seemed well.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I was submerged into what, in my estimation, was 23 feet of water.
I don't think
it was
maybe
about 23 feet.
Say 23
deep.
Really? Feet
I'm
deep.
I'm guessing it was about a fathom. It was about a fathom of water.
And
I drive a bitchin' car, as we all know.
Sure.
I've got a bitchin'
I've got a
grabber orange, bitchin' grabber orange Mustang
that
has as part of its. Fashionable components. This plastic, it's not quite a bumper, but it's sort of like that's not really a spoiler. That goes in the back of there. I wish Lightning was here. He could tell me what it is. But the car is low. It's got the grill and the headlights, everything. And then below it, there is a vacuum form plastic sort of heavy duty rubberized kind of bumper in the front.
And is that 100% intact?
Well, here's the thing. It is secured to the under part of your car with various screws and contraptions and adhesions. And I think it is meant to simply stay on your car without 23 feet of water pressing against it.
Well, I think they do assume that, yes.
They assume that.
Uh-huh.
That is a bad assumption.
Okay.
And as I went through this puddle, the water caught the front of my car and proceeded to bend everything that could bend underneath my car to the point I was dragging the front of my car underneath my car for the remainder of my trip.
Oh, my
including
God.
My front license plate, by the way.
No!
Which makes a lovely sound when you're dragging that against the asphalt in between your undercarriage and the street for another 20, 25 blocks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So when I got home, I looked under my car, and everything that had previously been in the front of my car was now underneath my car. It had all buckled under and then been run over and then trapped beneath the front and rear axles of my car.
But you didn't drive home. You had someone tow you? You kept driving it?
What was I going to do, Kevin?
I don't...
Did you pull over?
No, I'm saying, did it drive? It doesn't sound like it would have...
It drove...
Just in a very loud
slower
manner?
Slower and louder than it drove previous to that happening. But everything that was there, there's a cover that goes underneath, like a splash guard, I guess it is. It goes underneath the engine. That's plastic as well. Everything just came off and buckled and then got caught up underneath my car. So I was on in the rain yesterday underneath my car, cutting loose all of the with tin snips, just cutting loose the connections.
Welding.
I was cutting loose the straps that held it. I brought it all off. And now it's all in the trunk of my car, and now I'm going to go visit my friends.
Good times.
Up there at Galpin and say, hey, can you put this back together?
Can you do anything with these parts?
You know this jigsaw puzzle of a Mustang? Is there anything you can do with this? So now that's on my agenda. So
I was talking yesterday about the dumbasses that drive through what they think is a puddle and turns out to be a lake.
Yeah.
And you were one of those dumbasses.
I was one of those dumbasses. It really
is. Because you can't tell. You can't tell when you're just looking at the road.
So why am I a dumbass
you don't
then
know.
If you can't tell and you don't know? Why am I the dumbass?
After you're a dumbass after the fact.
Because you assumed that it was 1 inch deep. That's why.
Well,
because
on the surface, it looks like it's on par with the rest of the road.
But I hope it wasn't.
I don't recognize that there's a gully underneath that that is filled up with water.
I hope nothing happened to the banana yellow paint. I hope that came through.
It is grabber
I
orange.
I hope that still looks
and
good.
And that is fine.
Okay,
it just,
good.
I'm hoping that it just needs to be...
buffed?
You buff that right out. It's just those pieces are, you know, they just need to be, new ones will have to be acquired.
Yeah, you told me, didn't you?
And you just reattach those things, and I'm hoping all will be well after that. The only thing that really bothers me is the horn now. Something happened to the horn. I don't know whether it got waterlogged or it got bent
in the
process.
I wish I had video of this
or
accident.
Something. But the horn, which used to sound like, bah, bah, nothing like this. That's what my horn sounds like now. So I got to get that looked at.
Hey, listeners.
I say keep the horn that way. That's great.
Listeners, weigh in, Ralph. The part that you're looking for a name for is called the valance, apparently.
The valance.
That's what that front part is called.
Ah, the valance. Yeah. Valance. I like that.
So, well, that's not what you predicted
that's
when you drove home
one,
yesterday.
Ralph Zero. That was my rain accident, and the rain kicked my ass. So that's what happened yesterday. And it's on. So, Mike, please, don't be like me. Kids, if you learn anything from today's show, it's drive carefully. And when you come upon a large puddle, a large surface area puddle that seems to be expansive, assume that there is an enormous amount of water underneath the surface. Because as you go through it, you may be surprised.
I saw in the news last night a guy in a Mini Cooper.
Yes.
Yes. That was national news, that guy.
Climbing out of his car onto his hood and jumping over and thinking, what a dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize I was talking about Mr. Ralph Garman.
But I think my car, if it hadn't had such low clearance, if it didn't have that thing in front of it to catch the water, like just like a scoop.
Right.
It was just the worst
but
possible
situation.
Was
it a surprise that it was there? Or did you know
no,
it was there ahead of time?
But you don't expect that volume of water to catch the front of your car and for that situation to happen. So.
Mm. Oh, my God, it's raining!
So I'm just saying, bring back the drought, right? Isn't that what we're saying?
I don't know how story? That... I don't think so.
Look, you can buy water in bottles, okay? How scary is the drought? I'll just go to the store and get some water. There, I'm hydrated. Who cares about... The rain is bad. We got to get rid of the rain is what I'm saying.
That's stupid crops.
It's not as bad for the rest
dangerous.
Of us.
Look, I'm not an olive farmer, okay? I don't need rain for my crops. Let them deal with their own problems.
Those of us whose car still works,
car right now.
We're good with it.
That's more important. All right. I'm done with that. This show, NCIS...
That was on in the 90s, right?
It's been on for 13 years, I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
Right?
I don't think I've ever seen one.
I've never seen an episode of NCIS. I don't know how I've avoided it for 13 years.
Is this the one with Mark Harmon?
Mark Harmon, yes.
Right.
This is a big hullabaloo today. Everyone's talking about the fact that Michael Weatherly has announced he is leaving NCIS after 13 years. He plays, apparently, Dinazzo on that show.
All right. Okay.
Hey, Dinazzo, how come you never come anymore in CIS? We've together for 13 years. We waited for you, and now you go.
So we're going to miss him or we're not going to miss him?
Apparently a lot of people will who watch that show, but I don't watch it, so I won't miss him. But it was all over the news today for some reason. It was a big deal.
And then I think that NCIS... L.A.
Yes.
is the spinoff that Lippy Liplicker's doing. Yeah,
right. Will you please stop calling him Lippy Liplicker?
Wow, don't make that noise.
I'm LL Cool J.
Oh, God.
Hasn't LL Cool J blocked you on Twitter because of your lip licking comments?
Well, I called out what a terrible choice he is to host the Grammys. Like in America, aren't there 1,000 other people you could think of ahead of LL Cool J who should host the Grammys? He's terrible at it.
It doesn't bother me as much as it does you, but I would like to see all of the people who have blocked Bean. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, it's a long list. Congratulations, Star Wars The Force Awakens, now the number one film of all time in North America. Congratulations to J.J. Abrams and company. Today is official, is the number one grossing film of all time, not accounting for inflation. Did you know Star Wars, the original, A New Hope, I guess they call it now.
Call it that now?
Yeah, that's what they call it these days. If you adjust for inflation, it still is the number one grossing Star Wars film of all time, as you can imagine. But this one now... Number one.
This will easily pass it, though.
Beat Avatar. Well, in 20 days.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. In 20-day period.
In 20 days, it already became the number one grossing film in North America. So they're assuming that over a lifetime, eventually, it will even eclipse the original Star Wars film. But
it is crazy, though. I'm glad you brought that up, Ralph, the adjusted for inflation, because it is significant. I mean, the original Star Wars made over $400 million in 1970s dollars, when you could go to the movies for like $3.
Right. Although, keep in mind... That movie sat in movie theaters for like a year and a half.
Right.
It was, you know, films spent a lot more time in movie theaters then than they do now. That's why they always, I think to this day, I think Gone with the Wind is still the number one, if you adjust for inflation, still the number one money-making movie of all time. Because it stayed in theaters for like 2 years.
Right.
People were still going to see it 2 years after it came out. So. And lastly, Sylvester Stallone has announced he is looking forward to the Creed sequel. He says that they have an idea for Creed 2, which would bring Carl Weathers back into the mix.
But he did.
Yeah, he's not.
Or is he? Yes, he is. But what they would like to do is do it a la Godfather 2, where they show present day and then they flash back to the events that set up the present day activity. So you would go back, you know, 30 years and it would be Rocky and Apollo dealing with the end, you know, the end of their relationship or whatever. And those events in the past would have somehow affect the events with his son in the present.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Actually, Carl Weathers did have a wooden hand, Kevin, in Happy Gilmore. So you got him right once. I kid you not, Stallone said he would also like to see Apollo's son, played by Michael B. Jordan, face a big, ferocious Russian.
Oh, no.
In the next film.
Nope.
Yeah, that's what he would like to see.
Nope.
Well, that's an original idea. I don't know if that would ever fly. If I could change, you could change. Look at this.
That was the best speech at the end of any movie ever.
Sure was.
It was
did you
just
ever
terrible.
See the parody Funny or Die did of the ESPN 30 on 30s, where they treat that fight as if it was a real fight?
Oh, no. I didn't.
And they interview Max Kellerman and all these fight experts, and they show footage, and they talk to the supposedly one of the Russian prime ministers at the time it happened. He's like, they have a translator, and he's saying in Russian, I don't understand why to this day we all stood up and started applauding an American. It made no sense. He had just beaten our champion. I guess we got caught up in the moment. They just kind of deconstruct that whole film as if it was a real-life documentary. You should seek that out. It's very funny. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rowan Atkinson is 61 years old today. And John Singleton turns 48. Norman Reedus turns 47. Julie Chen, 46 years old today. Eddie Redmayne, very talented actor, is 34. SNL's Kate McKinnon, supremely talented young lady. She is 32 years old. Alex Turner, singer for Arctic Monkeys, is 30. And model Irina Shayk.
Daddy Wikey.
She is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Jim Rome about sports like we do on Thursdays. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew as well. We're finally going to get give Ralph a chance to talk about fan behavior at sporting events because he was being a dick.
I wasn't.
And then everybody else said, hey, sir, why don't you sit down?
It
there are kids.
And
then Ralph was like, I ought to F you. And they were like, dude, sit down. This is a family event.
First of all,
right?
Wow.
I don't think that'd be a very effective threat. Oh, I'm going to F you. Come over here, mister.
I'm not positive how it happened, but I think that's... writer, actor, comedian David Cross, also. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.